All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
That's a good way to start the show, guys. Everyone, what's up?
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
I was like, who are you looking at?
I'm talking. I see it now.
Yes, I see it now.
There's a camera.
I was like, what are you doing?
I have sunglasses like, on. Damn it. So it looked like I was looking at you.
And I was like, Becky like behind you and saying hi and you're flirting with her? Like,
no.
You feel pretty comfortable. I was going to say, yeah.
Anyway, hello, everyone out there. And thanks for listening to our show. This is Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we want to welcome you all to our show. So thanks out there for listening. And liking and subscribing and leaving ratings and reviews and all that good stuff. Following us on all social media at Life's a Binge and checking out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Life's a Binge. We wouldn't be able to make this show what it is without support from the patrons. So
true.
Big shout out to Tony and Dave and Kathy and Jessica and our honorary bingers. You guys are awesome. So thank you guys very much. And if you want extra content and to be shouted out in stuff in the beginning of the show, check out patreon.com/Life's a Binge.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
What a fun little army we're kind of building here.
Speaking of armies, if you want to be the phone army, dial 619-438-0532. Leave us a voicemail. We got some of those today, so those are always fun to listen to.
Awesome.
So you can
phone
give us
phone army.
You really like saying phone army.
I like trying to imitate the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good, Jared.
That's your Randy Savage.
Come on now.
Yeah, the phone army.
No, that was Rich.
You have to get more like.
It's right. It's very in the bottom of the throaty. Like,
oh, yeah. What's up, brother? It's more, phone army.
See, that's more Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
That's more Hulk Hogan. Randy Savage has more of this in, like, nasally kind of a
sound. Hulk Hogan is more saliva-y. Randy is more nasally.
Okay.
I got you for 3 minutes.
Anyway.
I'll get it. I'll last for 5 minutes.
Anyway, but let's go ahead and get this show started. So breathe in with us right now.
Life's a binge.
Right?
So I think I'm going to edit in that sound with the what's up sound. So there's not a transition in between the thing into what's up.
Sure.
Because I'm always like, well, we never really say anything in between the theme song and what's up. Other than me going like, let's get into our first segment. What's up? What do you think?
Which sound now?
I think
the Life's a Binge theme song.
Life's a Binge.
You should cut right to what's up.
Into
what's up. Like Life's a Binge. What's up?
Oh, no. It'll go.
The whole theme song.
And then right as the laugh happens, it goes. What's up? What's up? What's up?
Give it a try. See how it is. It might sound awesome. It might sound like we heard that already. I don't know.
I think it'll sound good.
I want to hear it. Yeah. So let's do it.
But here we go.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I like that when the drop happens, you say the drop anyway,
it's fun to say.
Move.
It's just classic.
That's
the early aughts.
The way it tapped into that.
When
just
was
that?
That was like 90s.
That's
2000. I thought it was late 90s.
Was it?
It was 2000. I'm pretty sure. It might have been the British.
It's got to be mid to late 90s.
Yeah, it's probably the British.
Mid to late 90s because 2000 is when we were doing it in France in that time.
Oh, so it did
happen. And so I remember, yeah.
Perfect.
How did it sound in French?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I remember that story.
Bonsoir. It's so funny. We were just talking about Anthony Hamm.
All you have to do is say bonsoir and then just replace soir with sa, and you got your Randy Savage.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Is ready. See, there you go.
Bonsoir, monsieur.
Anyway. Bonsoir, is ready. We're talking what's up. The only thing new with me is I got a fish tank. And there's fish.
How many
in
gallons?
It's like small. It's like a 3-gallon fish tank.
Fish? Oh.
A couple guppies and a couple tetras. And
nice. You know what? There were like a whole like slew of people who heard that. Much. You don't have a fish tank.
Oh, no.
But I mean, he was judging the size yeah, exactly, of his fish tank.
You're like, 3 gallons. That's not a fish tank.
It's so a tank and it has fish in it. So,
yeah.
It's a
fish tank. Screw you, pal.
It's got a filter and a light and everything.
He says, I have freshwater sharks here in my 188-gallon tank.
Hey, 3 gallons is good. It's a good beginner size. And it like sits right there on my desk and it looks all cool.
Dude, fish are great.
Yeah, and it's just water, a couple guppies and they're like, they look bitching, man. So
I love that. I love that. I'd really like to get something. In fact, I have a little hexagonal one that's maybe a gallon.
Mm-hmm. Did you have fish like when you were little or?
Not very much. Like you would go to the school fair.
That's where I got my first fish.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and it died like at the second day.
So I kept mine for like 2 years after that.
Really?
Yeah, just in a bowl with rocks, like nothing fancy. Like
and you change the water.
Yeah, I change it every week.
Well, see, I was just going to get like one or two goldfish, but the people were like, no. And I was like, what do you mean no? And they're like, that tank's too small. You have to have like a 20-gallon tank per goldfish, basically.
No, yeah, because they can get huge.
They grow up and they get
the size of the tank.
Yeah, they're gigantic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, no goldfish for me then. I just want a couple
you don't
of
want
those
a
ones.
Giant goldfish staring at you in the night when you come home. Right. Hello, Jared.
I mean, I like goldfish, but like the whole point was to have the small, contained little thing that sits on my desk. And I was like, you know, it's pretty and cool. And so I was like, oh, what can I put in that? And they're like, oh, you know, any of the small community, you know, schooling fish, guppies and tetras. And I like those too. They're bright and shiny and cool looking. So
there you go.
There we go.
Yep. You know, I think I'm pretty sure it was the 10-gallon goldfish tank in the wall of my apartment in Seattle.
Oh.
That
it was built into the wall.
No, but the wall the house was built into 3 levels of apartments.
Uh-huh.
So it was a house, but it was divided up into apartments later. Right. And so I was on the top floor, and then so there was a room that had a wall there that had a window sill in it, but it was boarded off by a piece of wood, and I had knocked the wood out, and it happened to fit perfectly a 10-gallon
nice
tank. So that's it sat awesome right in the middle, and it was right at eye level.
That's bitching.
And so it was really cool, but it used to give me and still gives me sometimes dreams where fish are just swimming through the air. And I know that I'm not alone with that.
It's just
I know
your not, sleep self, like watching
well,
the fish tank.
Well, because when you sit in the, when you sit, and sometimes, like, if you go to SeaWorld, like, and you get in front of one of those big fish tanks, and you can get a certain distance away, and while you're focusing on the fish, at some point, you will become completely oblivious that there is a wall of glass, fiberglass, holding water, that there's anything between you. You feel as if you're in the exact
same
space.
You're like watching Fantasia with whales flying around.
You're in the exact same space, as what's going on. And so
maybe slightly less or more creepy than that, though, depending on how you feel.
But anyway, that would used to, like, you know, you get, with this fish tank in my house being eye level, I could get, like, a, you know, 6 inches away from it and kind of just focus on the fish. And before long, I'd be in the tank with the fish
and you like defocus and you're just like there.
You're just there. And so that I think that I'm assuming that is what leads me to my fish swimming through the air.
There you go.
Doesn't happen all the time, but so whenever I do, I'm like, whoa.
That and the acid.
Whoa, that
sweet LSD that DJ has access to.
Or it becomes like dislodged. You
I
know,
wish you would share
in a little corner of your brain from back in the day. You know, like that's like you're like Stan Lee in the latest one. He's like, oh boy, I'm paying for the '60s right now. So.
I actually know people like that who are like
they do have like weirdo acid flashbacks or whatever.
People who are like clearly like not like totally 100% in touch with reality right now, and it's like you partied a lot.
Yeah,
back in those days.
Yeah, I wonder.
So what's up with you guys? That's all this new with me is I got fish. So.
We're well into summertime. I'm so enjoying the zoo gigs. Have been just so fun.
You have a very I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but But your videos that you post on Facebook, you're like, you find your niche, and you're like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to go all in.
Yeah, I'm going to do these. I'm going to do these videos.
He's committed.
They're 2 minutes long.
Like your Instagram, like Life's a Binge Instagram, was like, I'm doing dishes, and that's my thing, and I'm going to do dishes, and then it's going to be weird animal stuff, and I'm like, yeah. Word, that's great, yeah. And that's what you latched onto, and that became your thing, yeah. And now you're working at the zoo, and now your thing
so
is
every
like
Wednesday and Thursday.
Live videos of you.
And it's always Sky Ferrari, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, always just make going across, getting ready. I got like 10 minutes after that to like get ready to start the show. And it's beautiful. You, generally, it's like really nice and it's comfortable out there.
Oh yeah,
that's
and
great.
So it's like
no, it's all right.
And plus, you got the life of self promotion, and you got
to
like.
I just think it's so funny that there wasn't one on Wednesday, and you're like. Just so you know, I didn't forget coming at you next Wednesday or right, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Tune in.
I was a little beat.
I don't want to.
It's like a bad message, like a bad PR piece.
Right.
Hi everybody.
Oh god.
Dude, are you okay?
This is the worst. I feel terrible, but I'm gonna have to do that through this anyway. So here I am.
Right. Because you all love it so much. Two people are watching.
Right.
Hi. Are you okay?
Should we call somebody?
Right, exactly. I could meet you at the other end of the sky ride. Like, no, I think I'll be fine. God. So anyway.
But like the zoo's going well and stuff.
Zoo's going really good. And I'm looking forward to that. And we're heading up to Oregon. We're heading up to Oregon where you just were.
I was just there.
Yeah. So
nice.
So that's what's up. You were in Bend.
I flew back today. I've been up since 3 in the morning.
Oh, really?
I've been going all day.
Welcome to recording.
Early flight. Yeah, it was cool. No, Oregon's
we're gonna get
awesome.
Gold.
I've been like, so people, when I'm there, they're like, oh, you've been to Portland? I'm like, no, Portland's the only place I have not gone. Like, I've been like Ashland, I've been to Bend, I've been like Winchester Bay, like on the West Coast.
Okay.
Oregon's rad. Like, I want to spend more time there.
What were you in Oregon
Portland
for?
Is essentially Oregon, but urban.
I was
Oregon.
In Oregon. Yeah, it's super urban. I was in Oregon to shoot a wedding. So,
gotcha.
That's
gotcha.
What I do is I was there. Way. It's like right where my... I like to make big gestures.
Yeah.
I gesticulate wildly with my hands. No, but it was... Like, the people are super cool, and the culture is super cool.
Bend is bomb-ass. You've probably heard about Bend. Like,
I went to...
We talked about Bend briefly when we were talking about whatever that show was.
I went to Deschutes, and it's like, I'm there in the brewery, and they're all like, just go in the fridge. Like, just get what you want.
Deschutes
like,
is bomb,
like, can
though.
I just, like,
I love
walk?
That beer.
It's, like, right behind, like, the hosting area. I just, like, walk in there and, like, just grab beer. They're like, oh, yeah, just go for it. And I'm like, I feel weird. Like, that's where, like, workers should go. And they're like, just go get it. Like, you're fine. You're cool. But okay. So I didn't go buy my beer, and they're super nice. And I walk outside, and it's like, there's, like, 6 or 7 tap rooms just... I don't have to turn my head. There's like right in your eye line, like right there. Like, this is where I should be here.
And, yeah. And it's beautiful. Like,
it's so nice.
Yeah. Like, when
like
I
stayed in a hotel that was right on the river, too. So I could just open the door and I could hear the river sounds at night.
Oh, man.
That's great.
It's beautiful. Man.
I'm jealous.
It's funny, too, because
it's cheap.
And not only that, I think about, it's hard to live in San Diego. It's hard to live
San Diego sucks, man.
In a way it does suck.
Like, it's gorgeous and great here, and
great.
All my friends and family are here, but you know what, fuck this town. It's ridiculously expensive, man.
Yeah. So sometimes you think about, like, man, if I could get someplace in some cool town where you could get yourself in an existence that's sustainable. And
they have, like, a lot of the same qualities that, like, this neighborhood
like
has.
A big town has,
you can
right?
walk to everything that you want to get to. Like, there's a nightlife and blah, blah, blah. It's just in Oregon. It's just not where you're used
to. There's just trees.
Yeah,
and rain.
Lots of trees and lots of
oxygen. Waterfalls.
Crazy oxygen.
I went chasing waterfalls. Despite the advice
you're
of the
song. You're not
supposed to. I know. That's what
you're
I heard.
You're not supposed to.
I did it anyway, though.
That's cool. If we moved to Oregon, that would be pretty wild. Because we have this land on the Umpqua River, that I don't know if I've ever
heard of. Who's we?
On my mother's side of the family. So
it's
she
good
has
to have
it.
Land.
And then when she passes, her kids will have it, the 4 kids, just like my cousins. Mike, she's the only one of her siblings that are still alive.
Right.
So the cousins who are our age-ish have all kind of inherited the land, but it's always been just the family land.
Have you all talked about that at all, or is it just like we'll get there when we have to deal with it? Or
well, we've talked. What do you mean?
Because my mom, she ran into the same thing where everyone's supposed to inherit like a certain thing,
right?
And then
I want
time,
it all.
Exactly. The
maybe,
time came, and there were fights because of it.
No, not yet. Anyway, I mean, my mom is still alive, and not as far as I know. And one of the things that come up is that it gets logged every so often.
Oh, okay.
So there's years and years ago, like when we were really young, they logged it. And like all of a sudden, my mom got this at the time a huge influx of money.
Like logged, like, as in like people came in and chopped down trees.
Yeah,
yeah.
See,
yeah.
I, when you said they logged it, you I was like, they wrote. I was it like, down. Oh, they wrote yeah. down like who gets what.
That's
like,
so funny. Yeah,
this is that's our yeah. liberal thinking. Well, yeah. We're not in touch with that.
No, they cut down all the tree or yeah. not all the trees. They cut down a bunch of the trees and then
correct.
Sure. And then of course it's they replant it and everything and mm-hmm. and so apparently they logged it again recently, but I don't know what happened. I haven't heard about any big influx of money and
huh.
But anyway, there's this piece of land that's really pretty and it's right on the Umpqua River.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun to build either like a yurt village or maybe even like a little like resort, like a little like not like a private ish resort
yeah.
where you had like lots of different camp spaces, a couple of cabins, you know, maybe a little outdoor.
For like people to come, or
people
would you
to
want
come to
do
too,
like
but a, also you do like your family.
Like well, a
that's
visiting
the thing. I would do like family,
slash
yeah.
living
like,
space,
like yeah. yurts. Put some yurts.
I'd
up.
Rather do like a big old commune.
You
where it's like
a
everyone
for
come
year
live
round,
here.
Year round.
Everyone
I mean, that,
come live.
That would
and
be
like, kind of we'll
interesting.
Chill
that would be
and
interesting.
Like, yeah.
And I think that I wouldn't be opposed to like making it something that could be that.
Right.
You know,
like if you labeled it like as an artist, like. Place
yeah,
to go. Like
yeah.
People would go.
You know, you could, you know, and it would be cool. Like, it would, what would be cool is like if you were able to create something that was financially sustainable and also ecologically sustainable, you're not wrecking the place.
Yeah.
But like, you create something that is like, did you know that so and so's album was like
created
at this place?
This
you know,
yeah,
or so and
yeah.
so came up with their idea for the blah 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 script or for that series at this place on a you know, in a retreat. So ideally, I definitely think of like an artistic retreat. You
very
know, think
awesome.
Of it.
Footnote or more than a footnote in someone's like story of
right.
how
yeah.
they got to a certain
yeah.
place.
And yeah. hopefully like, you know, that would be, yeah, I mean, I would love to like make it, create it,
sure.
have it something that you give away for, you know, special needs camp or something or,
yeah.
or even just a camp for, to get people to you know, to go do their thing.
Yeah.
Is that sun hitting it right at the
it's
right
like
spot?
Right in
the
right.
The one crack that we don't have covered
it's
is
the
like
only,
the glass
it's the only
the
spot.
Camera.
How
that's
funny.
So funny.
I worked so hard to block this. Did you notice this?
I did, yeah. That's
yeah,
good work.
I was kind of proud of that.
Legit.
A
that's,
for effort.
That, yeah. yeah. And
it just
for
needs
the most
a couple,
part,
it just needs a couple weeks
for execution.
To like hold it down.
What?
Right.
But A for effort.
I'm the idea man. Yeah, someone else goes and fixes it. So.
Anything else? What's up?
That's up.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, we're done with
it? Because I got so much to talk about. I could talk forever.
That's what's up,
Steph.
And we move right along.
This just in. Dang it. It's all good.
You forgot your,
no,
your notes
it's
are on the
phone,
camera
but that's
recording.
Fine. I remember. I remember.
Know.
So the big one for me, I did a little, not a lot, but I did.
Okay.
I saw some headlines.
Okay.
One of the big headlines was Alan Alda came out and says he has Parkinson's disease.
Oh. Right. Yep.
That was kind of big.
And he has a podcast, apparently. So
I
recorded this little bit, and I sent it to Matt Thompson, who does our Alan Alda impression.
No, that's Alan Alda. What are you talking about?
No, no, no.
I sent it to Alan Alda.
Impression?
I sent it to Alan Alda. I don't know. Like,
yeah. Impression?
So. Tell him to call in when he next has time to do so.
But he's, anyway.
Yeah.
Come on.
But apparently, like, he does a podcast. Like, he's,
oh, cool.
On CBS Morning News, he was talking about his... His Parkinson's disease, and he said, "I'm going to talk about it on the podcast."
Nice.
And I can't do it, but man,
yeah.
some people can, but I can't.
Right?
You know who can? Alan Alda.
Alan Alda.
He's good
right.
at it.
So that was kind of a news thing that I saw, and then the other big one that I wrote down was LeBron's I Promise School. Do you guys know
no.
about this?
Yes.
Explain.
Yes.
So in Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He has opened, or he took over. A public school.
It's a little A, a little B, right?
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
I'm loving this
took
already.
Over
go
a
ahead.
Public school and pumped in initially something like $5 million into it.
Okay.
Sounds
something
about right.
Thing like that.
Okay.
And I believe it's like fifth grade through high school.
Yep.
And students are free tuition to the school,
mm-hmm.
so it's free to go. You get free school uniforms. You get free lunch, breakfast, and snack. You get your college tuition paid for if you graduate.
Yep.
A couple other things that I can't remember off the top of my head, but like he just like was like, here we go.
I'm in general, make a school on system paper, that works. It sounds amazing.
So I'm assuming that he probably has like fellow investors who will invest in students.
I mean,
like,
maybe.
And then I'm guessing.
But
I'm
how much is the college tuition? Like for a 4 years? For 4 years.
$100,000?
That's at like a top-end school. It depends on the college. Like pick a well, like on average, how much do you think a 4 year
like if they're going to San Diego total, State, that's like 40K.
Right.
You think it's only 10 grand a year?
Well, that's probably more than that.
It's probably close to 20, I would
my
guess.
My number is skewed because I went there a long time ago.
I would guess it right now
I was
close
estimating
to
more than what I went for and less than what I would
more than
my
20,
worst nightmare.
Yeah.
So like 4 years you're looking at $80,000. So let's round up and say it's $100,000.
Yeah. That would be where I would guess.
On a school.
Still sounds crazy.
Right. $100,000 to go to school. Uh-huh. Sure. But like you take like how much is it going to cost for the lunch, the meals and all that stuff? If the initial investment's $5 million, that's X
peanuts.
Amount of kids a year for tuition.
That's peanuts.
Right.
Not even close.
And so
but it's more than zero.
Right, it's a lot more than
I'm
zero.
Guessing, and you know I'm the best guesser in the whole entire world.
We are aware.
There's no better guesser than I am. But I'm
you have
guessing.
The best guesses? Is that
the
what you're saying?
The best guesses by far. But, so I'm going to guess that he has financial investors who also invest in him, with him.
I would
and
hope
so. Into funds for these kids when they start into it.
It just
and
like,
they probably, like, when it matures,
it's probably not
able to,
all
like,
his money.
Exactly, yeah.
But even if it was, he's worth, like, $400 million, so what's five?
But that's just making his money work harder so he can do it for
he'll
even
make
more
kids.
Off
of it.
I just want to see if it is a success. Because, like, it's one it's one school in one little town. It's in Akron, Ohio, where he's from.
Yeah.
And, like, it. Yeah, I hope it works because like
you gotta start somewhere.
I hope so too. You know, you ask me, that should be tax money. You
like,
know,
what
if
that what if that inspires other people at his station to do the same thing in their home?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and like in what's
which would just to offset the cost that would cost all of us.
Yeah.
You know, like we can all do this, but we can do it at this cost because I've committed. You know, I have extreme means and I can commit
because
billions
clearly
or millions.
We can't all agree to do it between us. Like this, we'll all spend a percentage of our income to do this. So.
Right.
If individuals come along and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to spend, which to them would be a much smaller percentage of what they're worth.
Right.
To just do it on their own.
It's just funny to me because we were talking about Scott's tots on the office, and I'm like, uh-oh, he's promising tuitions. Yes.
Hey, Mr. James, what you going to do?
And if it fails,
what you gonna do
it's
to
like,
make our dreams come true? Like, I'm going to send y'all to college.
Like, because they just set up their first class of, I believe, fifth graders.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's 5th through 12th, which is kind of a weird schooling system anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how it – I don't know the logistics of how it all works, but like
– I kind of get that.
Because like middle school is 6, 7, 8, and then you go high school 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And so to have a 5 through 12 kind of school is kind of interesting. But if it's a private school in a public school fashion, because he's doing uniforms and all that kind of, unless he's talking like sports uniforms,
probably not.
I don't. But he's talking school uniforms, like
isn't the division between
public school and a private school.
Eighth and ninth grade kind of arbitrary anyway? So where is the line drawn to where it's one kind of school versus another kind of school?
But that's the thing. I went to elementary school, which was 1 through 6. I went to sixth grade elementary school, and then my junior high got transitioned into what's now known as middle school.
Yeah.
And when I went there, they had a sixth grade, so it was 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
But I started there in seventh grade, and then I went to high school 9, 10, 11, 12.
So they didn't call it junior high when you were in there?
It was called middle school.
Me neither. My school was K-8.
Right.
So
interesting.
No shit. K-8, huh?
Yeah.
Dang. So you were in the same school until you left to go to high school.
That's right.
That's where in San Diego?
No, it was in Oakland. It was called St. Pascal Bailon. It was a nice little Catholic school.
Private school all the way through eighth grade.
That's right.
That's crazy.
And high school.
See, that makes a lot of sense, like, thinking about it, because, like, friendships and all that kind of stuff going along and all that.
Yeah.
You're with the same people, no same teachers, same principals and all that stuff. So it makes sense. But, like, I went through sixth grade, and then I left that school entirely and went to a different middle school, not junior high, because junior high is just 7th and 8th grade. Like that's a junior high.
That's
school.
My impression of a junior high.
7th and 8th grade, and then it moves on from there. So anyway, I don't know the format of his school and all that stuff, but I'm interested to see where it goes.
I think it'll work. I hope it does, just because I want more. There's been a lot of yickety yak, for lack of a better description of that word. Just about what people, especially people at the upper echelon of wealth, choose to do with their money.
Right.
And if somebody wants to open a school, I'm like, yeah, man, like, do it.
Yeah,
like,
go you know, for
their worst
like,
things. Like, yeah,
yeah, right. So what do I do? Do I want to do cocaine this summer, or do I want to open a school? Like, you know, like, let's choose a school. That's awesome. Like, I'm not gonna decry you for doing that.
I'm gonna pay my.
Will
pay
it be effective? I don't know.
Like, yeah, pay for my sons to beat up bums for you know, for
bum fights. Is that what you're gonna do?
Right, yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if you ever saw the movie or the show, Mr. Robot.
Yeah,
and then the CEO like goes and pounds on bums.
Pounds on bums. Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah, and so it's
crazy. So I just hope that works out. The only other thing as far as news that I had, it's not even news. It's more of I saw it on the internet and I wanted to talk about it during this segment, I guess. So a friend of us, Tony Hamm, yes. Anthony Hamm, he posted a meme and it was like what Disney does versus what Warner Brothers does. And like it was intentioned to kind of slam Warner Brothers, and it showed what Disney does, and it showed them the remodeling of Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you know what they did in the ride?
No.
Where they changed the auction scene to like, we're selling women. We want the redhead.
Because
like,
they're pirates doing pirate things.
Right. Which, you know, that's the defense of like purists or whatever. I'm in that group too. I'm like, what are they pirates?
Go ahead.
Like, yeah, listen to the song. We like pillage and plunder and drink up me hearties.
Yeah, what do you think
like,
plunder
they're
is?
They're pirates. Like, so anyway.
Yeah, like, okay.
Whatever. So anyway, they changed the ride to where they're not auctioning women anymore. The woman, the redhead woman. Do you just break that or is this
no,
that?
It's okay. Stupid. Go ahead.
So anyway, the woman, they changed the woman to be the auctioneer. And I don't know what she's selling, but they're not selling
something
women.
Something arbitrary that's not
women. The redheaded woman that people were buying is now the auctioneer. Sure. Makes sense.
Okay.
Anyway, so the meme says what Disney does, and they like show that scene where it's like
the woman
they're implying
they've
that
changed
they've
everything
changed everything to,
right.
to
we're selling dicks.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, he went for it. I don't know if that's what they meant, BJ.
No.
That's how Disney is just flipping the script on everybody. This is what we're doing.
We're going
now.
Full 180.
Yeah.
So basically, they're showing what Disney does, and they show that they change to cater to the modern audience.
Whereas
so
does Warner Brothers.
And then it said versus Warner Brothers, what Warner Brothers does. And then it showed the disclaimer that I don't know if you know the disclaimer that Warner Brothers puts up in front of like Looney Tunes cartoons or
old Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
Right, where it's like, just so you know, this is a product of its time. Didn't change it.
As far as I can tell, I'm all behind. Right.
Sure. So I don't know what the point of this meme was, and I would love to get Tony's opinion on it. So if he listens or we reach out to him, why he posted it, I'm curious to know.
My brother posted this.
No, Tony Hamm.
Different
Tony Hamm. Hey, I'll say.
Like where he lies on it, because it was like, this is what Disney does. And they changed to cater to the modern audience to versus what Warner Brothers does, and they just put a disclaimer up and like bleh, like that's the way I read the meme.
I'm
was
not
like
on
they're
board
slamming
with
Warner Brothers.
Painting the fence that way, like, oh, this was never dirty, like it's all clean and bright and shiny. Like, I much prefer the Warner Brothers, hey, look, this is what we did.
Right.
This is the time it came out.
And
here
like,
it is.
And
we don't endorse this point of view now.
And
but
those,
this is a product of its
cartoons,
time. I think that's fine.
Those cartoons are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, they are great. They're classic cartoons. They are great. The Looney Tunes cartoons are fantastic. Like, some of the stuff in there is a little suspect.
Right.
And so if there's a disclaimer up above it where it's like, this was made in 1952. Like,
this goes back to what we talked about last time. It's like, how much of prior stuff can we hold up to a modern lens?
Right.
Like, is that fair, really, to do? I don't...
No, I'm down with WB on that one.
Yeah, if they're like, we're sorry, this is how it was.
I'm curious what the meme was intentioned. If it was like... If it was slamming Disney, like, they're changing stuff, and like, why would you change? But then, see, I would think the Disney one would be
take it either way.
Tony Hamm would love to come on and talk about it.
Absolutely.
You can take it either way.
He would be interesting and
great to
talk to.
Because I don't think either one is wrong. I would think Disney changing pirates, specifically pirates, that's a little kind of wonky because it's like, come on, they're pirates.
Okay.
Like, it was controversial enough. Well, initially they changed, like, the pirates were chasing the women around the town. And then the women were chasing the pirates with the thing. And
right.
I'm like,
the rolling pin.
They're pirates. Like, and I know that doesn't. you know, justify rape or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny because, like, as soon as they, like, kind of, like, break it hold that all down, you know, once they,
well,
like,
once you start to talk about it and think about it, you're like,
yeah, then, like, oh, well, goddamn, our entire ride is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Pirates are filthy animals.
They're not working at Subway. They're robbing boats and pillaging villages.
They are raping women. Right. That's what they do.
So,
which we don't want to do now.
And so I get where I get why they changed it, but I also get, like, you can't change. It's like the cartoons I consider, those are entertainment. And like, it's one thing if it's like Blazing Saddles. You're not going to like go back and censor Blazing Saddles or change Blazing Saddles. And there's no way that movie gets made right now. But that movie's fucking great.
Right. There's no way with modern sensibility that Blazing Saddles, any number of Mel Brooks movies,
right,
any number of movies, satire or otherwise, made in that time, could be made at all right now.
It's not going to happen. And so you don't go back and change it. Like, you don't go back and change it. And so you're not going to go back and change the Looney Tunes cartoons or like, just not show them.
And I wouldn't want anybody to either. Not whether,
but like,
it was,
you know,
or not.
Speedy Gonzales, like having, I can't do the stereotypical like Mexican, right? Like I can't.
That's Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, is it?
That you just
Right. Those are great cartoons.
Yeah, I look at that now and I'm like, Speedy, you're problematic.
They're great cartoons, but listening to the way he's speaking, it's like,
I don't know.
So putting up a thing like this is a product of his time, and da 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 da. Like, it's not justifying, like, it's okay to be racist, but it's like,
we've moved past this. We're not making this now, but this is the way it was made.
Interesting. And so
I feel like the meme could be taken either way.
Right.
And if I saw that, like, in a vacuum before we discussed it, I would take it as they were slamming Disney for, like, trying to, for lack of a better term, whitewash their history.
Well, it's funny because they, like, Warner Disney Brothers was on the top. To like, the way that you read memes is like Disney versus Warner Brothers. So it's like they're slamming Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Whoever created it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder. That's the way I read it. Because that's how you read. That's how I read memes. It's like this versus this. Like the one on the bottom
good
is like the bad,
bad
one, right? That's how I read the meme. And so I was just curious of you guys.
Okay.
Take on
I'd like to see that.
We should talk. We should have Tony on because Tony's good people. Interesting.
Cool. Do either of you have any news?
Yes. There is a new Star Trek coming with Jean Picard.
Correct. Jean-Luc Picard.
Jean-Luc Picard.
But it's only on the stupid CBS thing.
Okay. I don't know enough about it. Andrea actually
their
told me about it this morning.
Proprietary streaming. Like,
yes.
Oh, really? On that same
system? It's only on CBS. Yeah. Access
only on that system. Okay. Because I have that.
I
do have it because that's the way I can watch the Chargers.
So I'm curious. Go ahead.
No, you. After
I'm curious because I don't have it or I haven't seen any of the new Star Trek. So
it's good.
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah, it's super good.
Where in the universe do you know does it take place?
Time wise, I don't know for sure. I want to say like it seems modern.
So
like,
the way that my knowledge of Star Trek goes, if you go based on the series alone,
okay,
it's Star Trek,
which I might not be qualified to stay long.
Star Trek, and then they basically go in sequence: Star Trek, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. But Voyager and Deep Space Nine, I believe, are right around the same time era.
Okay,
right, and after that, you get Star Trek Enterprise,
which is a prequel before
Kirk.
Yes.
Okay.
But as far as like release date,
Enterprise,
are series.
When would that come out?
Starring Scott
Bakula. Yeah, Scott Bakula's captain. Dude, I missed
that whole thing.
What is Siri just like a bunch of nonsense.
Siri is in the show.
Did I say hey Siri?
I am now the female voice of the
series.
Show.
Oh yeah, I guess Siri.
Yeah.
So anyway, Enterprise is way before Star Trek proper.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I'm just curious if the new one takes place after like Voyager.
I don't know.
I haven't watched it.
I don't know, but it's good. Yeah. It's just like the production and writing is good.
Nice.
It's a good run. Good
fun.
I
saw that in Patrick Stewart's like explanation about the character. He's like, you know, I thought I was done with this character a long time ago. And then he talked about the opportunity of revisiting it and how like moved he is by people who've talked about the Next Generation.
Right.
And how, like, you see John Lucas an inspiration
and
to pursue science and leadership and
it's
just
all on
being
Netflix.
A good person. And I'm like, I mean, I can't fault the guy for wanting to go back to it if those are his motivations.
Well,
like,
and so
that's
I was
awesome.
Curious, like, is it going to be a whole new show? And so that's going to run simultaneously with the other new Star Trek? Or is he going to be on that other show? Because what's the Star Trek on?
I would imagine.
What's it called right now? Do you know?
Discovery.
Yeah, Star Trek Discovery.
On the CBS.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, Discovery.
Discovery.
So is he going to be on Discovery, or are they going to redo something?
You know, that's
else?
A good enough question.
That I mean, that's one way to kick the ratings into the stratosphere.
Right.
Like, why would you not want him on? That
I'm
going to
guess it's a whole different reboot. Like that's what I'm like. It's that timeline and that crew, and like I don't remember.
No way.
I don't know.
It couldn't be the
He's
same.
He's playing himself. I mean, because I know
well, he's
that.
He's playing Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. Right. So it could be Which like, is it could be a 10 years later. I know that it's funny.
He is Jean-Luc Picard. Right. Let's be real.
But it's too late. I've seen everything.
There are four lights.
So I don't, good. Like, I'm just curious if it goes.
If I hope it works out. Yeah. Like, I
hope so. Well, it's funny, too, because I was thinking this morning, and Eric was telling me this morning, and I'm like, huh. I'm like, it must be a CBS property because I think CBS owns all the Star Trek stuff.
Interesting.
So so I'll be curious what that was. So I'm glad that you guys heard of something about it. A new series.
Yeah, it's a new series. So I'm curious. Wow.
And it's going to be carried on that same network, the streaming service only.
See,
that is kind of brutal. Like, I don't like that kind of, like...
Exclusivity.
I don't want to subscribe to like, seven different streaming services.
Yeah, but Netflix
but
was able to create...
That's where we're going, though.
But like, how is that different where, from the problems that we have with cable?
With taking down cable, that's what's going to happen.
No, it's true. It's
but
true.
But doesn't that create the same problem, though? If we
it
all
does.
Have to subscribe to five or six or seven
it
different things.
It absolutely does.
It's just as bad as cable.
If they're all $10 a month, you're paying $70 for every channel. Like,
right.
It's the same.
Right.
Yep. So but cable needs to reinvent itself in a way.
Cable's dead.
You think so?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm Egon, Ghostbusters, print is dead, cable's dead.
Yeah, exactly. It's
dead.
It's true.
Yeah.
We've moved on in the way that we view TV.
There needs to be, okay, I think anyway, that we will still need a viable and popular live streaming services, like certain ones. That are just going to be
like network TV will survive.
Network television, I think, is important, but
it will
also
survive because it can survive without cable because that's the stuff that's pumped in no
over
matter
the airs,
what
over the air.
Like that stuff will survive whether or not like shows on network TV will survive, but like as far as news and that kind of stuff, that's gonna,
it's not
you're
like
gonna be able
network
to tune
television
in.
isn't the cassette. You
right.
know, where
but
it's
the door
outdated.
Is open for streaming services to take over. Like people watch live.
That's true.
Nonsense
no, that's true.
On Twitch and YouTube all
right.
the time.
No, that is absolutely
just
random
true. Stuff. So it was like legitimate. Not that the content that's there now is not legitimate, but it was like an actual
news show
on
right.
Twitch or streaming live on YouTube. People would just watch that. Like,
right.
why?
Well, and like for example, Facebook.
Why watch it on a TV?
Facebook
you get
will
it
do
when you want on a computer
live,
or phone or whatever.
Facebook will do live baseball games. Where
right.
That's the only way to
Twitter
watch it.
Twitter does
is
it too
on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter
and
does
they
that
did,
too.
Twitter did football games.
Yeah, Twitter
last
does
year.
NFL. Yeah.
So
I was stoked. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Stream the Twitter stream right to my TV? Why would I not do that?
So weird.
I haven't figured that out. It is weird. It is very, very
like,
weird.
How are you watching this gigantic super property called NFL? How are you watching that? Oh, I'm watching
Twitter.
It on Twitter?
Yeah.
What?
I did.
No,
I,
me too.
I don't know how to get it.
It's crazy.
I don't know how to do it to your phone. But, like, that's one of the big reasons why I got CBS standalone is, like,
you
so I can
football,
watch the Chargers.
Right?
I want to watch the, yeah, I want to watch the Chargers and
why?
Yeah, that was a controversy that I posted. Oh, man. Oh, man. I got slammed
yeah,
like a motherfucker.
That.
Dude,
I saw that.
I'm behind you. I didn't see
I
that.
Jumped
up. Yeah, dude. I got slammed, dude.
By Dallas?
Oh, by everyone.
I didn't see. I didn't see you. Oh, I didn't see you get slammed. I saw you posted it, and I was like, yeah.
I took a little jab at you, but
I'm behind you.
I was in good
no,
fun.
No, I don't care. Well, yeah, it's like, I don't care. Like, I was like, you know what? I tried real hard to not care last year.
This is the circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, we had a team that we had for 25 years, 30 years, or whatever, and now they're gone, and they're 100 miles north.
Right.
And this is still the team that gets played on the TV every week.
They're still my
and,
team.
And it's hard to, like, not...
Yeah. So, to devil's advocate.
Sure.
Devil advocate away, please.
I'm taking this away from you, Jared. I'm taking away your mantle.
Sure.
Because you're the devil's advocate usually on the show.
Yeah.
Because,
but that's usually about race, and I have to play the like ignorant white guy.
You guys, let's just say, just only for argument's sake, let's just say
it's true, though.
Oh my god,
yeah. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
but. If you're supporting the team, are you not supporting the ownership?
Technically.
Which we don't like.
You know,
technically,
but,
correct.
You know,
technically,
okay,
yeah.
Which
is,
I guess, technically, yeah.
The best kind of correct.
No, right.
But,
no, you're right.
Farnsworth. But technically, yeah. But nobody ever has gone to a football game, watched LaDainian Tomlinson run for a touchdown, or Philip Rivers throw for
and wearing
a touchdown,
Spanos jersey.
And going,
right.
Yay, Spanos, way to go!
No,
you know,
yeah.
it never comes into
the
my mind.
The only time it comes into your mind is when, like, something really, really ridiculously good happens, and they're like, "You signed this player. Good job, Jerry Jones, for signing Tony Romo or what have you.
Yeah,
like,
you have somebody, some free agent.
I celebrate Reggie McKenzie all the time. I'm like, you're building this team. You're doing a good job. I love this.
Yeah, like, but yeah, I never ever watch the game or am excited about it and think, yay, Spanos.
Right.
Yeah. Or yay.
So if they win and they do well and they make a bunch of money, then sure, he's the one that's going to profit from it, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, I tried real hard to not care last year. Sure. I tried real hard. I was like, I'm going to be bitter and I'm going to be spiteful like everyone else.
Because that's what we're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, you should feel what you feel.
Well, and like, and I did feel that. I was like, this guy betrayed me. Like, he sucks and I hate him. But I was still like, come football day.
Hi, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Come football day. I was like, I would watch all the other stuff and then I'd be like, oh, and now it's 1 o'clock and guess what's happening? The Chargers are playing and they're playing Jacksonville.
And they're on TV.
I'm just going to turn it on. And like, I tried to say like, quote unquote, in the closet. Like that's one of the last comments I posted.
Closet Chargers.
I was like, I was going to be in the closet and like not show my pride or whatever. Yeah, no. And I was like, you know what? That's stupid. Like, I don't give a shit. You can hate me all you want. You can say I'm a San Diego traitor, but fuck you guys, because you know what? I'm born and raised in this fucking city.
This is my team that I cheer for.
And they're my team, and I don't give a shit. Like, you can slam me all you want. It's my team, and I'm gonna like them. Sorry, I'm not gonna hide in the corners and be like, oh my god, I'm watching them, and like I should feel bad about it.
No, I appreciate that because I'm gonna come out on the show. I'm a Raider fan,
right?
Born and raised, Oakland, California.
Well, that's the thing.
That's where you're from. That's where I'm from. That's my team.
They're going to Vegas. Are you gonna like hate them when they go to Vegas?
I mean, I'm not in Oakland now, so no.
Well, there you
go. Also, the team has a history of moving back and forth. Well, right. So it's,
you know, when we were vetting new hosts, I didn't think of asking.
I also don't like Seattle teams, DJ.
Oh, we are in this quandary. Now we're in a quandary.
What a conundrum we have.
I tell you, this is
no. But even saying that, like, I love there are Chargers players that I've loved too. Right. Like, I like Philip Rivers is a great guy.
He's an excellent quarterback. Yeah.
I love watching him play because he's
so fun.
He yells at people and like he's kind of a dick.
And
but like, at the same time, it's great.
I love watching him play against my team. Like I want a guy like that on the other side to compete. Like,
and
hard.
It's so funny
That's
too.
What I
like
want.
That for whatever reason, the fact that he doesn't curse makes it kind of adorable.
Gosh
in a way.
Darn it!
Yeah, that he doesn't. He loves to get in. He gets into it every single play with somebody.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
he's talking with somebody.
His own team. It doesn't
matter.
He yells
at his own team like crazy. Sometimes it makes me mad.
I was hurt.
Of course,
like when like everything happened, like team was moving and like fans were deserting. I was hurt because like the rivalry's dead.
Right.
Now the base is gone, and that's where I get a lot of my juice. Like,
it's fun.
And that was the thing when they were gonna share a stadium. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
That was bullshit.
I was like, Raiders and Chargers are
absolutely not.
Right. So
sleeping with the enemy.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on that topic, but
dude, it's football season. It's coming.
I can feel it in my bones.
Do you play fantasy football?
I do. Yeah,
you do.
Commissioner of a league.
You might have to get in. I'm the commissioner of a league, and it sucks.
We could screw Casey Gardner.
I'm also a multi-year champion. So if you want me, in your
I've only won one time.
We could all.
I do
like,
need a player if you need a player.
We could I'll all play, like.
How many leagues are you in?
Contribute.
So now it's just one.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't. There was a time when I was in two or three.
You're in mine.
I'm in two. I'm in two.
Three is good.
I was in yours for a year.
Three is
solid.
No more than three.
Regardless.
No more than that.
Yeah, three is too much.
I got a couple real quick news things before we move on. Jessica Lange's going to be on the new American Horror Story. She re-signed.
She's good.
Chris Rock is going to star in Fargo Season 4.
Really? You got news, dude.
Well, I'm just reading the Entertainment Weekly headlines, which Tony hates, but, you know.
No, those are good ones.
No, I'm on board for that.
If it's a contract dispute between, like, somebody on, you know,
Basketball wives.
So those are the two that stand out on the email I most recently got. It's Jessica Lange coming back, and Chris Rock's going to be in Fargo Season 4. So, cool. Any other news?
I don't think I saw Fargo Season 3. No.
I didn't see it either.
I didn't.
No more news?
Watch that stuff, guys.
Do we want to do... We do voicemails first, so let's do voicemails first.
Good.
Life's a binge! Phone Army!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Matt here. I just wanted to talk a little bit about MoviePass. Maybe you've heard about it. I'm sure that you already talked about it in segment.
That's why you're going to use it.
Yeah.
I just had a couple of thoughts. I mean... First off, it's like $15 a month now, which is a bummer. It seems like it's like increasingly less and less worth it. For the longest time, everybody would like, you know, be like, I don't like it. They added this or they took away that. And I'm like, it's still like 10 bucks a month, which is cheaper than like a lot of movies. Most theaters I go to, they're like $14 or whatever. So just like that initial ticket, if I see one movie a month, it's already a deal, which is amazing. So probably one of the reasons why they are doing how they're doing. But, you know, now they're, you know, blocking out certain movies. And it's just like, it's a bummer. And I'm thinking, if it goes down, like, what happens to the people who paid, like, the whole year, for the whole year up front? I mean, hopefully, you know, there's, like, some reimbursement or not just, sorry, guys.
It'll be a class action somewhere.
Sorry about that. But, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. And then also the – I was thinking about the AMC list, the A list. And it is, like, 20 bucks a month, which is more than I'd like to pay. I was thinking if I didn't have MoviePass, I could, you know, give up MoviePass for that. So I wouldn't want to have, like, too many of these taking money out of my bank account. But it's like three movies a week, which, you know, it's not bad. I would usually, you know, see at least once. Or once a week, which is awesome. The IMAX thing is included, which is super cool. However, the problem I have with it is the AMC does not have the monopoly on the cool IMAX theaters in San Diego. Edwards does. The Edwards and Mira Mesa has the amazing IMAX. Yeah. Everything else is just like Diet IMAX unless you go to the
Science.
Yeah.
Edwards and Mira Mesa.
I was impressed with the IMAX I saw the other day.
It's good.
So
it's just not
that
as
the
good.
Great, and it's also, you know, again, just AMC. So that's just like one small grouping of theaters. You'd still have to go and pay full price at all the other theaters as well. So it just kind of, you know, racks up and just gets expensive unless you just stick to AMC only, which I don't think I would do. If Edwards, though, if they came out with one of the...
Sorry, he got cut off. There's more. It's a 3-minute max on the voicemail.
3 minutes. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So when I tell people... You got to wrap it up. I always tell them 2 minutes.
Yeah. Where's the the other one go?
I have lots to say about that.
The movie pass?
The movie pass?
Yeah. No, just the whole concept.
Here we go. Sorry.
Ooh, that's a freeze by a robot voice. Okay. Now I see Tony and LaMesa's annoyance. Anyway. So good. As I was saying... AMC, you know, doesn't have, it's just that one theater for their A-list. But if Edwards came out with a movie, like, with their own version of MoviePass, oh my gosh, dude, it would be so on because they have not only the amazing IMAX, but you'd get, like, Edwards and Regal thrown in there. So that would be some serious dopeness. I'd be all for that if you all want to jump in there. But anyway, as for me, how might this affect movie reviews going forward if they did, if MoviePass did make the big plunge? Well, it might change over to Warby's Redbox reviews. I don't know. but who knows? Anyways, have a great rest of your podcast. See you later.
Cool.
Okay, so thanks, we Maddie. Also have some from some celebrity callers, but we'll listen to those in a second. I do want to spend some time talking about MoviePass.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what are your guys' thoughts on the MoviePass thing?
So now I think you guys are a little more up to the second than I am, and literally it changes by the
every
minute.
Day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, by
every
the
day,
minute.
Day,
yeah.
Well, I was because I didn't say it in WhatsApp, but I'm off. I'm on vacation for the next week,
sure.
So I have a lot of free time because Samantha's going to be working for some of that time.
Uh-huh.
But I took the week off to celebrate her birthday. Happy birthday, Samantha. I love
happy
you.
Birthday, Samantha.
So anyway, but I was going to go to the movies a bunch, and I wanted to see Christopher Robin, and I want to see Mission Impossible. Yes. Both of those movies are blocked out. Both of them.
Motherfuckers.
And so I was like, I was just curious. So I signed in a movie pass and I was like looking and I was like, what movies are playing at the Regal by my house?
Parkway Plaza. Bad movies.
And they're not bad. Like you can see Skyscraper, which I still want to see.
Actually said, I said you can only watch these stupid bad
but
movies.
Also bad they movies. Do but they also have the peak pricing thing where you have to pay more. For like certain
for both of them
no for certain things
see. Okay
for certain things that are out and so I was like okay well I'm not gonna go see that at 10 o'clock in the morning which is a matinee price anyway yeah. So why would I spend $2 here when I could just buy a $6 ticket
basically you're not getting what was advertised
right and so I'm like nah, I'm not gonna go see that one I'm not gonna go see that one that's peak pricing at noon so yeah. No okay and I was like oh Christopher Robin's out I'll go see that that looks really good and it apparently hits all the feels of like a Disney
right
movie and oh, blacked out doesn't even give you the option that and Mission Impossible the two movies that I want to see right. You can't even pay the premium to upgrade they're just you can't do
you just
it,
can't
at
see it at all
yeah, huh. Yeah you know I yeah. I watched
so that's my that's as of this morning those are the I was like
that's
fuck this nonsense
I watched yeah. I watched Mission Impossible with a pass that I'd won from work for,
yeah.
for something.
So some AMC pass. AMC pass
but I still
something.
Had to pay
yeah.
$5 extra yeah. dollars to watch it in IMAX.
Oh, so you upgraded. Oh. Yeah.
Which was cool.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah. Like I have like an AMC black ticket like sitting on my desk for that I can use for whatever,
right.
apparently. Uh-huh. So I'll probably go see it with that.
So, but they were really pumping the, there's an AMC product that in the movie theater line. They
the
were
A-list thing? Or
A-list or gold or something like that. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
It's their subscription.
And they yeah. pay $5. I don't know.
That's
or if
what
it was
he
more
has.
Like
that's what Mikey P has.
I don't know if it's the same thing or not, or if it's something that they were promoting for like Stubbs, but Stubbs Gold, but yeah, like yeah, AMC specialty.
They've rebranded Stubbs to
A-list, yeah,
they have
A-list, a free right? version of Stubbs, and then they have a subscription for Stubbs. And then the A-list includes the subscription version of Stubbs.
Right.
Oh, gotcha.
So, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And that just gives you like the front of the line privileges and all that.
And stuff. That's still right. $20 a month. For the premiere, the A-list one.
Slash
yeah, and there was one
it's
guy.
It's got to be what you got to do. Like, it's got to be where you're going.
Well, it was yeah. really interesting. It was an interesting experience because there's one guy working the line there, selling tickets out in front, and there's like a line of premiere customers, a line of regular customers, and it was kind of like premiere customer next, please. You know, and it was kind of like, oh, motherfucker.
Of course.
So yeah, it's like right. TSA.
It right. is. It was really weird. And
or the
and
return
I told, like,
line at Ross. Dress
and I told
for
one of the
next return, please. Next return, please. Sorry, that was way
that's
off.
A really good.
No, I love that.
I do. I love that.
That's a great
that's a
interjection.
Reference.
Next
that's
return. Reference. Next but... return. You're like, I'm waiting to buy. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So
not that this happened to Jared or anything.
Anyway, it'll be interesting. Like I totally told somebody, I was like, so I told somebody, I'm like, oh, we gotta wait in line. I'm like, if you're going to go see the movie and without anything else,
you'd be waiting in line anyway.
I'm like, you can go to this to the kiosk
yeah.
and buy it right away without
or
any waiting.
Inside the customer service area.
Where yeah, but they kind of frown on that, you know, when you go inside, yeah. you know. But
I well, just used the
if
use
everyone
computer.
Did that, they'd have a problem.
I
but almost
computer.
Nobody does.
I just
nobody,
walk up and
nobody
put,
does it. And
thing.
I do it all the time, especially with Troy. He yeah. for, he always like let's just go up here and like he can do it because like whatever.
Well, that makes sense because yeah.
Yeah, that's just yeah. I don't know.
It's easier for him because he's in a wheelchair.
Right. right. So maybe yeah. yeah. Whatever reason. Yeah. I milked the shit out of that. You know, like I wish I could get a handicap cast.
You heard
like,
it here first, folks.
BJ taking it into the handicap.
Yes. Never run for president,
trust
BJ.
Me, trust me. If I wasn't engaged to be married, I would push Troy around everywhere.
Troy, whoever you are, I've not met you, but I hope you're listening to this.
Troy knows. I'm like, dude, this is freaking magnet.
Oh
it's
my
like,
god,
this is like gold right here.
Whoa.
Push him upstairs. How you doing, buddy? Thanks, man. You know, it's like, oh my god.
He's just, like totally in on
just,
it. Like,
oh,
I
just
got,
mil-
I got
yeah,
you,
just
man.
Milking it. Just milking it.
That's
so,
fantastic.
So it's great. But
anyway. I'm gonna fall over when we get to the stairs. You'll pick me up and
yeah.
be the hero.
Yeah.
He's like the best wingman of all time.
I got you, buddy.
We'll play hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Hero. Do the hero move.
Yeah, me and Troy got it all figured out.
I was just saying,
I need a hero.
Yeah, this is good too. So, but yeah, waiting in line is just like, this is stupid. Like, you can just clearly just like pay the premium and just like
right.
walk in base. Of
if it's
sorts.
An option, why wouldn't you do that?
Right. Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, if it gets to the point where it's like the premium, like, I don't know how the AMC one works, if you just check in or whatever, but I don't understand the point of going to the box office or going to the kiosk and getting a ticket. If I'm paying for your service,
why
specifically,
can't I just do this
just
on my phone?
Give me, like, the ticket on my phone, just walk in, scan it, it says, yep, you're good to get in, whatever, and
nice.
I just walk in to see whatever at whatever time.
We know that technology is, if an airplane can do it, we know the technology exists for
movies. So, like, say it's noon, and I don't even know what's playing, but I just want to see a movie. I just walk in and, like, scan my phone. It's noon. Bleep. You have premium access to see whatever you want. Yeah. Just scan it and just let me walk for free roam into whatever I want
to
go see.
Well, I'm sure they have to track it, so they're probably like, all right, this is the movie you're going to
see.
For box
office purposes.
Right, sure. Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah,
but like,
they're going to like, this is the movie
some,
that you chose.
Right.
And so.
So maybe they'll ask, like, what movie are you going to go see? It's noon. What do you got playing? I'm going to go see
Or you have
Star
an
Tracker.
Attitude and you're
right.
like,
well,
whatever,
you probably tell
whatever
from
movie I want to see.
You're at versus what's playing at a certain time.
So anyway.
You can do that all from your phone. You just say, this is the movie I'm going to go see.
And they scan your phone as the ticket?
They scan your phone. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because MoviePass still makes you buy a ticket. Like, it makes you buy a ticket
right.
is what MoviePass does.
I think they probably need a point of sale for
that's
everything because they're reimbursing every single
true.
Time.
It does make sense. So anyway, that was our anything else on MoviePass and how it sucks
what's up
in
the news? Because that's a lot. We got a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've been talking for a long time already. And we got two more voicemails. So
oh, boy.
Let's hear one of these. Let's find out what this one's about.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Sorry. We already did that one.
Please keep that in.
It's a different one.
Oh,
wow.
We already heard that one.
Owen Wilson. Sorry, buddy.
Next time, Owen. I'll talk to you again later.
20 seconds long? I don't know.
Okay. Hello. This is Jonathan Price. I just wanted to say hello.
Jonathan Price.
DJ and Jared on the couch. I so much admire your verse and mention about your podcast. I've been an admirer for several years. Now, I have to go find my daughter.
What's so funny is I have no idea who Jonathan Price is.
Yeah. Jonathan Price is.
Who?
Like, Jonathan... Like,
I have to go find my daughter.
Yeah,
who is
like, a spooky, Jonathan creepy Price. Voice. He's
yes.
like, he guest stars in, like, Thriller. He reads,
Vincent
like,
Price.
Oh, that's Vincent Price.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Price, his
I
less
no
famous
idea.
Brother.
I have no idea. I know who Vincent Price is, but I have no idea who Jonathan Price
Jonathan
is.
Price.
But I've heard the name before.
Please call us back, Jonathan.
Yeah, Jonathan, call again. Yeah. Explain like, yourself.
Yeah. we do have one more, so let's play this one.
Okay.
Play it.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition. I'm Vince Scully, and we're doing the play-by-play.
Vince Scully?
Here's Wayne Traub, and people there on the couch. Right now, here's Ball 3 for Raul Mondesi. Funny thing about Mondesi, he is my binge every day. So what?
This is some technical difficulties on the Google Voice program.
Our binge is brought to you by Lean Smoked Sausage. When you want only the best, free Parmesan.
So Vin Scully's a fan. Vin Scully is
like
a fan.
I like that.
Yeah,
well, thanks, Vin.
So call back, Vin, because that's some digital interference there.
He called on his potato. It's
yeah,
okay.
Apparently.
Next time.
Vin Scully's man, our repertoire is growing. The people who love our show is just like growing and growing.
That's right.
Who knows who's going to call
we
in
got
next.
Mayors, you know, we've got like famous actors, actresses,
yeah.
You know, musicians, you know, bands that just love our show. So
nice.
I dig it.
We just Mike P.
Now we know who Jonathan Price
is.
So. Thank you, Mike.
Please call back.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yeah, because we had to Google you first. They were like, "Oh yeah, you are somebody." Go ahead and leave a message on our show.
You should have been in that guy in that thing because he's that guy in that thing.
Yeah,
like he's.
But speaking
everything.
Of me not being able to see Christopher Robin, let's find out what Maddie's got to say about Christopher Robin.
Oh, that's what he saw, huh?
Cool. No, he did not.
And now another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Just kidding. He saw.
Won't you be my neighbor?
I was gonna say I don't remember that. That's news to me.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Because he wanted to cry that day.
Let's hear. Let's listen.
Well, hi there. How are you doing? You are. Well, I'm very pleased to hear that. By the way, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Do you like movies? Well, I sure do. I like comedies and scary ones, too. What kind of movies do you like remembering? What about Won't You Be My Neighbor? The Fred Rogers documentary.
Money.
Well, hi, neighbor. I was just singing about the latest movie I watched. About how Fred Rogers clawed his way. Okay, maybe that's not the right phrase. About how he pleasantly strolled his way into our lives. Won't You Be My Neighbor is a wonderfully done documentary. It shows a lot of different aspects to Fred Rogers' life. I found the details so interesting. In addition to it being so informational, it is also really inspirational. The idea that Mr. Rogers had such a successful TV show, and he really was the opposite of what makes successful television. There isn't a lot of crazy excitement, it's low production quality, and Fred takes his time on camera. Seriously, I was prepping for this and rewatched some Mr. Rogers. He spent the beginning of an episode blowing into a balloon a little bit and then letting the air out and blowing back into it again and letting the air back out. And it was the most captivating thing I've seen in a while. But we all know Mr. Rogers and the joy he brings. I think the real gem of this documentary is all the interviews with people who knew him personally, his friends and family, even the set builders on the show. It was really interesting to see how one person can positively affect so many people. One of the things I took away from this documentary was, it seems like the fact that he was so popular with kids and also adults was he took time to listen and respond. There's a scene, which is also in the trailer, where a little girl comes up to Fred and says, "Mr. Rogers, I have something to tell you." He looks at her and replies, "Well, what would you like to tell me?" And she says, "I like you." Fred smiles and tells her, "I like you very much too. Thank you for telling me that." I mean, that gets to my heart. I love what he does there. He could have easily just said, "Thank you," and went on with his life. But instead, he engages with her on a personal level with eye contact and legitimate interest, listens to her, and responds to her statement. And by saying, "Thank you for telling me that," affirms the importance of her statement. I mean, to a little kid like that, I'm sure those kinds of social engagements rarely happen. And with somebody at his level, I would think that would be a first for her. Which is why I think Fred Rogers was amazing. He let kids know that they mattered, which, as a kid, you tend to get used to not having your voice heard. He validated kids' feelings. He let them know that it was okay to be afraid and confused, angry, sad, and happy. He really took his time with people. That's why he can sit and find joy into partially blowing up a balloon over and over, and I will watch it more than the streaming subscriptions I pay for. So you might be asking, okay, Matt, sure, we all know he's this great, gentle guy we've seen this show. But come on, when does the other shoe drop? When do they dig through the land of Make-Believe Gazette and unearth those secrets? Well, I was dreading those moments because after all these celebrities are coming out now as not so awesome and ruining a lot of things I enjoy, I was really not looking forward to them finding something on my favorite childhood TV personality. Luckily, though, through the documentary, Rogers comes out as an authentically decent guy. A few times on certain subjects, I was like, "Ooh, no, here it comes." But I was pleasantly surprised. Either way, in a crazy world right now, Won't You Be My Neighbor is a great documentary to lift you up, inspire you, and reassure you that everyone in the world doesn't completely suck. And we need a lot of that right now. But I say, stroll on down through the model version of your hometown, find your local theater, and check it out for yourself, because hey, what do I know? Next time, I'm going to be seeing all the different ways The Rock can use a prosthetic leg, because I'm watching Skyscraper. Until then, I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know?
You know we're taking a break right after that, right?
Like,
you
know, I also know that happens. You gotta go.
I gotta echo Matt's sentiments about Fred Rogers, because I've watched
about worrying if like there was like, "Oh no, he diddled those kids."
See, I didn't worry,
right?
Like, it's Mr. Rogers. Like, there's never any doubt in my mind that he's exactly the guy that he represented on TV, because he came across so genuine,
of course,
empathetic and real, because he was that guy on TV, and he was that guy when he was, you know, being interviewed by the Senate to defend TV. Like,
right.
he was that guy when they gave him like a lifetime achievement award, and they brought back a kid that he visited on the show.
Man, and he started crying.
I wept like a baby. Like, are you kidding me? Like, come
on. Just, you know, that's just like a loaded gun sitting there.
Well, and then
one day I'm going to shoot myself.
And they showed the guy that played the mailman, the black guy that was the mailman or whatever. And he was like, hey, he's sitting there on his porch with the little kiddie pool. And he's like, oh, it's hot out here.
Come in the pool with me.
Hey, put your feet in my pool. And everyone's like, what?
Like at the height of
black man in your pool?
Height of swimming pool racism. Yeah. He's like, yeah, absolutely.
And he's like,
come on in.
Come
like,
join me. Yeah, it's hot out here. Yeah, you deserve to
stand
join.
Up, dude.
Oh, man. Like, it was legit.
I'm never worried about Fred Rogers.
Yeah.
You've seen this movie?
I have.
Won't you be
right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's on my list for sure.
Me too.
I'll probably see it when it comes out on
as
HBO
soon as I'm ready to weep,
Netflix
I'll go watch
exactly.
it. No, I'm going to go see it in theaters. I'm gonna make sure that gets my money.
But for now, let's take a quick break.
After these messages,
now you can rent all new releases or anything else for 5 days.
Really?
Yeah, so you can just enjoy it at your own pace. At other video stores, you only get 1 day on new releases. So you can't enjoy it because you're too worried about getting it back on time. And then you gotta fly out the door in order to get to the video store before it closes. And the clock is ticking, the phone is ringing, the late fees are piling up so high.
He's really into special effects.
Only Hollywood Video has Star Wars The Phantom Menace for 5 days, so you can watch it again and again. Welcome to Hollywood, Hollywood Video.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us for an hour.
Dang.
We're still going, guys.
But we are still going, and we're going to be talking more movies. We're continuing down the long list of like favorite movies and stuff. And I didn't mention this during news or what's up or anything. But if you've made it this far, thanks for listening. This is what we do.
For sure.
But we are putting out a bracket. I wouldn't say contest, but I am making a bracket for our show to determine the best year for movies that exists. And starting probably next week when the bracket's all out there, or maybe 2 weeks from now, depending on if people want to participate.
Ooh, I can't wait.
So years are going to go up against other years.
Yes, absolutely.
As they should.
And
For example.
For example, I have taken the first bracket, the first section, quarter of the bracket, what have you. There's 64 years, so starting from 2017 back to 1954.
It's just like college.
That's a lot of years.
Yep, yep. It's just an NCAA bracket.
Boom, boom, boom. Yep,
anyway,
yep.
So going all the way back, it starts, and I seeded them personally.
Boom.
To determine how it goes. And so the very first bracket, top quarter, is going to be known as the classic era film. And that's from 1954 to 1969. You know, we have things like the top seed is going
to
be 1967. 1967 is the top seed.
Gone
versus
the
wind? 19. No, that's like 1930 something.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
What's in 67? Hit me out. Help me out. Here.
If you want to know, I do have spreadsheets available for all of the years. Are all of the times available?
That's dope.
Dope. Division One classic era, 1967. Seed one, we have The Graduate, Casino Royale, The Jungle Book. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Cool Hand Luke, In the Heat of the Night, Taming of the Shrew, The Dirty Dozen, The Producers, and Dr. Dolittle.
Taming of the Shrew, I'm not familiar with. Like as a movie,
yes,
not, as a mill, as a no, I did the play as in high school.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not familiar with
like
the
you
movie.
You know the story.
Sure,
I know
sure.
the. I know the. Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as that year goes, so what I did is I typed in most popular films of the year, and
okay.
I used the IMDb rating.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then if I didn't know it, I skipped it. Like, I'm not going to – no bias there. Like, if I didn't know – if I never heard of it
– you're like the host of the show, so it's
fine. Of course.
Fine.
So I was like, no one's going to care about whatever this movie is that nobody knows.
Absolutely.
I'm going to pick Dr. Dolittle, which might have been number 17, 18, 19 down the list, but I put it on the top 10 because that's
because
a more popular title.
Yeah, as far as you're – as far as we're concerned, you hear it, you
sure.
see it. And if you deem it, you know, worthy,
and so
then
not
you
only
put
that,
it on
so
there.
Not only that, did I determine the movies that were going to be on the top 10 list. I also then went through 1954 to 1979
That's
or
a lot
69,
of freaking
and
years.
Then determined the seeding, which of those lists were the best.
You
want to
put like super strong years.
So then the second year, number two, is 1960, and that has Psycho, Magnificent Seven, Spartacus, The Apartment, Time Machine. Ocean's 11, the original.
Time Machine,
The Alamo, Swiss Family Robinson, and The Virgin Spring.
What? That's a good year,
so
too.
So that's number two in Shit the classic balls. Era.
That's
so
great. That's great.
When you're, making yeah. these, when you're making the year versus year, are you limiting to a certain number of movies?
No, I just listed.
Just as a whole.
I just yeah, listed.
Okay.
I just listed the top 10 until I got up to like the crazy modern, or not modern era, but like sure. the I don't know. As of right now, it's called the golden era. But like 1986 to 2001, I'm listing like top 20 movies because.
Oh, really? There's that
because
many.
They're all so yeah they're all every year, they're yeah. all right, magic.
Give us an example.
Okay, so pick a year in there.
1989.
Now, 1989, we have
Broadcast News. Oh yeah.
That's not 1989.
I think it is, but
oh,
I could
did
wrong.
I skip 1989?
That is Ghostbusters
oh,
2.
I did not list 1989.
1988.
I do have that. Okay. That's weird. That's good to know that I skipped that. But 1988. Are you ready?
Yes.
Back to the Future,
yep.
The Breakfast Club, yep. Out of Africa, The Goonies, Cocoon, The Color Purple, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, A View to Kill, Weird Science, St. Elmo's Fire, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Clue, Real Genius. No, this isn't
Rambo.
The right year that's, either. That's, this is 1985.
You've definitely, I was like, wait a minute.
That's all right. We're going to get it all sorted out because the years are represented appropriately.
My spreadsheet is failing me, but
no.
That's okay.
Regardless,
that's okay.
They're all there.
We
but
haven't
that was
started yet anyway. So.
But that's a solid year as well.
So year by year.
Oh, no, I know what happened. This is the one that I'm editing that I duplicated from the previous one.
Okay.
So I gotcha. I can open that one up real quick. I apologize.
I was like, wait, Back to the Future, Real Genius.
No, I apologize. So what do we want, 1985?
Yeah, I said 88.
What year? 89, you
88.
Said?
88.
You didn't have 89, so 88.
No, I have them all. Yeah. That's
you have
the
them
thing.
All. Okay.
1988. What seed is that going to be? No, 88's in the modern, which I do not have yet. It's got to be 86 to prior to that.
Give us 85. Okay. Give us 85.
Yeah,
man.
85.
You just did. 85 is the number two seed, and that's Back to the Future, Breakfast Club, Out of Africa, The Goonies, yeah. Cocoon, The Color Purple, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Shit. A View to Kill, Weird Shit. Science, St. Elmo's Fire, Clue, Real Genius, Rocky IV, Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome, Brewster's Millions, Fletch, The Last Dragon, Reanimator, and Teen Wolf.
Reanimator
is what
I love.
I've
The Last
picked.
Dragon is up there. In that
of course, it is.
Reanimator.
I have that movie.
For
I own
this
that movie.
For this era, I have seeded 1984 as the number one seed.
Really,
and that is Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, Never Ending Story, Gremlins, The Terminator, Nightmare on Elm Street,
okay.
Footloose, Temple of Doom, 16 Candles, Amadeus,
right there.
Beverly Hills Cop, Police Academy, Splash, Romancing the Stone, Revenge of the Nerds, The Natural, The Toxic Avenger, Star Trek III, Search for Spock, Purple Rain, and The Last Starfighter.
84?
Honestly,
that's 1984.
Temple of Doom and Star Trek are the weakest ones there.
Right. Right. But that's the top 20.
Right.
Like, so I'm gonna suggest 20. Something that I think would be like really awesome if
What's
we
that?
Is that we really, get really we get awesome. Beth Accomando to defend certain years. Like
anybody, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
anybody can make a bracket.
Anybody, yeah. But particularly like because
and when we,
like
when we start
she,
and when we start going through this, it's gonna be
yeah.
It's going to be nuts because we're going to be fighting.
As far as our podcast goes,
yeah.
You know, we have ourselves that we count on for opinions. We have Maddie Warburton that we count on. But Beth Accomando is someone who I look up to. I think we
Absolutely.
Both do. Look up to as far as her opinion on movies count.
Yeah.
So as much as she's willing to participate in it, I'd like to get her involved in like arguing for particular years.
I would say if you just put it out there ahead of time before that we record.
Anybody should.
Here's
yeah, anybody
the years
should.
We're going to be talking about. So just.
But
give
I want
us
to send a
input.
Special message to her.
Sure.
And
oh,
say you
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
I want to hear what you have to say. We can even do like a voicemail. You know, this is why right. 1978 was the best year ever.
Whenever we get to Forrest Gump's year, she'll drop a nuclear bomb on it.
I right. want to hear that.
So absolutely
I
not.
I want to hear that.
I do. I
want to
hear
that.
I really want to hear her argue vehemently against that
against
movie.
Against the movie, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but it's going to be so good.
I've heard it before, and I love the way she talks about it.
You said 1978, I believe you mentioned?
Random year.
I have 1978 as the, where are we, 1978?
Isn't that?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. No, that's 77.
Let me take
that's
a look.
That's 77.
In the seating,
okay.
77
is also Star Wars.
Where the hell is that? I don't even see it. It's on here somewhere. Anyway, mm-hmm. it's all in there, and it's all fantastic. Oh, it's
that's great.
1978 is 14. I have it listed as seed 14.
Oh, yeah. Do you have the movies next to it?
1978 is the... I can pull that up. 1 second.
Philadelphia Eagles, apparently.
1978, seed 14. We have Grease.
Oh, shit.
Jaws 2.
Okay.
Halloween.
Okay.
Animal House.
Oh.
The Wiz.
Oh.
The Deer Hunter.
He's on he's on
Superman.
We're getting better.
Dawn of the Dead.
It's getting better as we go
Pretty
along.
Pretty Baby, which I don't know. Midnight Express.
Pretty Baby, I remember that.
Up in Smoke by Cheech and Chong.
Yes. Right,
and The Buddy Holly Story.
Okay.
Not only do I have
the flavor of that year.
Not only do I have the spreadsheets listed, I also have the Best Picture winners listed of all these
years.
That's
a good
too.
Thing to do.
So what won Best Picture in
78? Deer Hunter, 1978.
Yeah, so that's funny. Deer I was going to say, let me guess.
Yeah, as well it should. Yeah.
And so that is up against the 3 seed, which is 1980. Which has Empire Strikes Back, The Shining, Caddyshack, Blue Lagoon, Blues Brothers, Airplane, Flash Gordon, Raging Bull, Friday the 13th, Popeye, 9 to 5, Ordinary People, and The Elephant Man.
Oh,
so
shit.
So obviously 1980 is going to whoop 1978's ass.
Popularity wise, but critically, I would take 78.
Really? I don't know. You know, that was,
see, that's what.
Well, this is what I want to do.
That's what it's all about.
I want to hear each. I want to hear each year argued about. I want to assign. You know,
as far
particular
as like,
people, certain years, and say, defend this year to your dying breath.
Because for me, I think about like what movies impacted the industry and the way we see, view, and make movies as a whole. And 78's got some heavy hitters in that.
So, like I said, I seeded 1984 as the number one seed of this particular bracket versus 1970, which I seeded as the 16th seed.
Uh-huh.
1970 has MASH, The Aristocats, Wanda. I don't know what that is.
Wanda. Huh.
The Phantom Toll Booth, which is based on a book.
I do know that one.
I know the movie. Airport, which is what Airplane based off of.
Okay.
Love Story, which is like one of the you know, quintessential rom-coms.
Yeah.
Catch 22, Patton, which won Best Picture, Kelly's Heroes, and El Topo.
Okay.
But see, like, you compare that list, 16 seed, versus lots Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, movies. Never Ending Story, Gremlins, Terminator, Nightmare, Footloose, Temple of Doom, 16 Candles.
Yeah. Like, well, we need
so
a...
So it's going to be, like, everyone's going to pick 1984.
Well, no, we need a voice that's going
to...
That's
I'll have to be
like,
fair in the sense that I'll weigh critically acclaimed versus, like, what's popular and, like, come somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's why...
But I think 84 is, like, very strong in both of those.
Well, that's heavy-handed.
Respects.
Like, it's ridiculous. So, anyway, I have... There's a whole thing going on. It's going to be ready...
I love it.
Hopefully soon.
It's bomb-ass. I love
so,
it.
So, be ready to debate that with us as well.
Absolutely.
But moving right along into the topic...
I'm so excited about
...of
that.
Movies. We talked about them last week. I started my list of, like, my top 10 influential movies. I guess we can round out.
Do you remember where you left off? I don't remember.
I don't remember where I
ended off. All right, start your list from the top. We'll just remember if we talked about it.
Let me get to my Facebook page. So it's tough to determine which ones I picked because I don't remember. And the pictures I have downloaded don't make sense either. So moving into the list. Did I say Little Shop? No, I said I was going to mention a musical, so that was the musical I mentioned. The last one I think I talked about was Goofy Movie, which was my number six.
Sure.
Yeah, and I played a bunch of Goofy Movie songs on the episode. And then day 7, I put Chaplin starring Robert Downey Jr.
That's your number six movie.
That is my number 7.
Which is our 7 movie.
Yes.
We've only talked about your first 4?
6.
The top 6.
Yes.
So the first 4.
6.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6. So this is number 5.
Well, these are in no particular order.
Right.
We've talked about 6 movies.
But this is your fifth one then.
They're in. What are you talking about, man? We talked about top 6.
Right.
That means 4.
It's pure numbers.
What?
I know, but
now we're talking about 5.
What number
They're
is
in
this
no
one?
Particular order. This is my 7th post.
So you have 7 movies that you've listed.
Yes.
Okay.
No, you've gone all the
and
way through
numbers,
it, haven't
you? Well, I've done them all.
But we haven't talked about it.
We have not talked about it.
So we talked about
the last one we talked about was a Goofy movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we talked about Noises
they
Off,
played a
and
song
we talked
right.
about
the Goofy
movie.
Movie.
We played
I'm down.
Eye to Eye,
I'm
and down. Now I'm talking about Chaplin.
So the wedding I did last night did all Disney songs all through dinner.
Nice.
And they played, like, On the Road from Goofy Movie.
That's the one they picked?
Right. I was like, why not? I don't know anything
that's
else.
So funny.
Yeah.
I have zero reference.
Of course
either.
You do.
That's so
Did
funny.
Did you listen to the whole episode?
No.
The whole episode? Pick.
The whole episode.
All
I
the way to
it.
The end?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I listened to that song you played at the end.
Yeah.
Which was, now what was that?
That's Standout from Goofy
Standout,
Movie.
Man.
Standout. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, no, that was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
So that's the other good song from Goofy Movie. Yeah, this, I mean, they're all good. But
no, they're all good. Those are the two ones songs, that people right? remember. Yeah.
So anyway, the seventh post that I posted for the movies, top 10 influential movies, was Chaplin,
yes.
starring Robert Downey Jr. It's a Richard Attenborough movie. It stars everyone under the sun. Robert Downey Jr., Dan Aykroyd's in it. Michael Douglas or Anthony Hopkins is in it. Kevin Kline, Marissa Tomei, Geraldine Chaplin is in it.
So what'd you like about it?
Have you seen the movie?
No.
The juggernaut Good of Lord. Acting that is.
I have
know,
seen like I have seen
Robert Downey Jr. Well, first of all, so a big part of my acting life was I took mime classes and mm-hmm. clown class. Like I'm a classically trained mime and, okay. and clown and all that stuff, and so. I watched a lot of silent films. I watched Buster Keaton. I watched Chaplin and, mm-hmm. and all those guys. And Chaplin, to me, was the fucking master.
It's the pinnacle of that art form.
I don't have any tattoos, but I have a tattoo sure. that I am going to get one day, probably. And it's a Chaplin silhouette, and I want it right on my wrist because that guy is the king.
Are you doing, like, full body or just, like, hat,
it's
mustache,
like a silhouette.
And cane?
Yeah, hat, mustache, and cane. That's awesome. And so, but watching the movie with Robert Downey Jr., not only does it encapsulate his... like film performance, it does his biography so well.
Yeah,
like it blows my mind. And the fact that he wasn't the best of people, and the fact that he married like 16-year-olds or whatever, right?
Okay,
and so it's like, yeah, that's not so good, but.
The
movie itself, I can't believe you haven't seen Chaplin.
Like, I haven't seen it. No, but I did see it. God. I saw like a one-man live production show that was kind of based on Chaplin.
Oh,
that by a dude.
One man.
In Brendan Fraser's years at Cornish, okay. like one of the other guys who was a really like.
I wish it was Brendan Fraser.
Brendan right. Fraser. No,
I want more Brendan Fraser.
He stuck out like in a lot of productions, but this was another guy, Tom Kefis. That's his name. It just came to me.
Gotcha.
Who was excellent, like especially physical comedy actor, stuck out a lot. So he did a whole presentation for his senior project on Chaplin. And so I'm familiar with that, well, but I never did see the movie.
Well, and so, like, you know, I was going to pick, like, The Kid or Gold Rush or one of the actual Chaplin
Bicycle
films.
Bicycle Thief or something, sure. right.
Like, yeah. one of the actual Chaplin films. But the way that I was looking at it was not just the movies that made an impact on me, but the movies that if somebody doesn't know them, they would actually maybe go watch them.
Right.
And so I'd rather have somebody watch Chaplin, which encapsulates his whole life story,
yes,
as opposed to watch Rush. The Kid, yes. which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
But go watch Chaplin with Robert Downey Jr. to get the whole story. So that was number seven. Number eight that I posted was Major League because I wanted to put a baseball movie. And I was like, what baseball movie? I was kid, it was The Sandlot. And,
a bygone era.
And
they don't
and
make I was, baseball movies anymore.
Right. And so I was like, Field of Dreams, maybe. And I was like, no, I already did my father kind of story with Goofy Movie, as weird as that sounds, but I was like, maybe not that. And so I was like, what's a good baseball movie?
I think Major
movie?
League is a perfect choice.
And as far as baseball movies go, like Major League is like the top of the list for me. So I picked Major League.
That's your eighth movie.
And that was day number eight. Day number nine, because I talked about it on the show, I was like trying to pick a musical. I picked Little Shop of Horrors.
Good choice.
Because that's my all-time favorite musical of all time. And I was thinking, why is that?
Really?
Because,
why? Yeah, why?
Yeah, expand on that.
Well, I think it's because of the movie. I honestly do. Because
that was your first exposure.
It was probably, well, no, because my first exposure was like Disney movies or Sound of Music or something along those lines.
No, but I mean, like the first exposure
to Little Shop.
To Little Shop was that movie.
Oh, the movie, of course.
Yeah,
because it didn't exist anymore.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Because
it was a stage play, but we hadn't seen it.
Right. No. And then it didn't go onto Broadway until the early 2000s. Right.
After the movie. Yeah.
And so the movie to me is just freaking great. I love the story. I love that it's dark.
Yeah.
I love that I have the Blu-ray special that has
the original ending where Audrey takes over the world.
On it. Yep.
Yeah.
And the Blu-ray has that?
Yes. Yeah.
I did not
have
know
you,
that.
Have you seen that?
I've seen it. No, I've been in that play.
Right.
I'm Audrey too.
Right.
I'm the plant. I've played that plant.
Come and so, on, Seymour.
Feed me.
And so the fact that the Blu-ray release has the original ending where the plant takes over and Seymour doesn't get the girl and all that stuff, like, that's the way it should end because that's the way the story's
that's
written.
That's logical,
and,
yeah.
And so anyway, I love and the movie version, I just love. I love Rick Moranis. I love Steve Martin.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's great in that movie.
It's great.
Yeah. It's thoroughly entertaining.
And so that's the musical that I picked because I couldn't – I couldn't determine what movie I was going to pick. I almost picked Chicago because I love the movie version of Chicago, but that was later in life, and Little Shop to me kind of
more influential.
Yeah. So that's why I picked Little Shop.
There was a Chicago performance at the wedding I did yesterday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
For the garter toss, one of the bride's friends came out and she sang All That Jazz, and they had like ballet dancers to sing with it too. It was good. It was really good.
My 10th movie of influential movies was The Ghostbusters.
That's good.
For a long time, my favorite movie of all time until something else took that spot.
Well, and I was trying to think, because like, I tried to think. Sorry, that's a quote from Ghostbusters. I tried to think. Look, I can do the whole movie, by the way. I'm getting
something
text
that can never possibly hurt us.
That's you. That's right. You. Okay. I thought it was me.
It just popped in there.
What just popped in there, Ray? So anyway, Ghostbusters, because I thought back to like my childhood, and this movie came out in 1984, as we just discovered. And I remember seeing this as a child. Like, I don't know how old I was, but I remember seeing it as a child. I was born in 83, so I obviously didn't see it in theaters, but I remember vividly seeing Ghostbusters 2 in theaters.
My dad recorded Ghostbusters off of HBO, so I watched that shitty VHS, like, I don't know, a million times.
And there's pictures of me and my two brothers where we had the zip-up onesies.
How old were you the first time you dressed as a Ghostbuster for Halloween?
Of course, a child.
I was like five,
and
I think, or four.
We had, like, as our pajamas, we had, like, the classic, like, zip-up footy pajamas.
That's
like,
great.
The full onesie, which now they're making a comeback for adults because we're dumbass children as adults. But anyway, so there's a picture of us wearing our zip-up onesies.
That's great.
We made the proton packs out of a backpack and Legos.
Yes.
So we have, like, little Lego, like, little proton. And the Fisher-Price skates. Did anybody have the Fisher-Price skates? That, like, they only went one way.
About,
so like,
have those.
Were geared in a way that
they wouldn't go backwards. Okay. Yeah. And so we took one of those and like modified it to be the trap. Like,
oh my God.
We were addicted to Ghostbusters.
I had the trap toy, which is my claim to fame.
So I had to pick Ghostbusters.
I love everything about that.
I also have
choice.
The suit. Now nice. I have an actual Ghostbuster suit that says Soublé on it in
my
closet.
What's funny is like I was looking for the because I was trying to find the actual original movie posters and like on the poster it just shows Harold Ramis and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Winston isn't on there. Like Ernie Hudson's not on there at all.
Well,
and then I went back and
watched
it
in the movie.
Well, right, and then I went back and watched it because I was watching all the ones that I was posting, and I went back and watched it, and I was like, that's kind of messed up. They didn't put him on there. But then he's only in the movie for like 5 minutes. Like,
that role was written for Eddie Murphy.
It's small.
That's supposed
it's
to be
really
Eddie Murphy.
Small.
And he didn't want to do it.
He's in a few key scenes, and he's in the whole ending like climax of the movie. But like for the most part, he's not really a character in the movie.
But he's what the audience needs.
Of course.
Because we need somebody to explain all the crazy pseudoscience.
Right.
He's not like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. And so like
he's
it makes
just a guy looking
there.
For a job.
Yep.
Which is
when he's like, I just started working for these guys last week.
Which
like,
is what works.
Do
so,
I get my own lawyer? Like,
I want to get my high horse. But which is what works so well about he's the Black Ghostbuster. Is like he's not like, hey, I'm here and I'm a black guy. It's he's just a guy who just needs a gig and they're paying, so I'm just gonna come do it. So in the new movie, they come with I'm the black person.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, just let him just be a guy. Like, what can I just be?
So that was we made it through my whole top 10. And then I couldn't help myself and I posted like 9 more.
No,
like,
I was mad when you posted Ghostbusters because I was going to post that. Like, that's son of a bitch.
Well, I had to. For me, anyway. So then I couldn't decide. Like, it was hard to pick them. And so
why
then
was
I went through and I posted
horse
like.
Tranquilizer, by the way?
I basically picked
to
like.
A date.
I basically picked like 10 more. That meant something to me that I posted in like a, I loved doing this.
Oh, in your hodgepodge
thing.
Post. Yeah, I
saw
that.
And I posted like a
Back
10
to the Future
more
was
thing.
Star Wars, Back to the Future.
And this has
Shawshank Redemption.
Are you looking
Forrest
at
Gump?
It? Fine, you say it.
I am looking at
it. We don't need you anymore,
Breakfast Club,
Jared.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wait,
Few
which,
Good Men.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, that was
Spider-Man 2, Amelie.
Oh, God, for some reason that post didn't put...
James Cameron's Avatar.
But I see it on there, yeah. Avatar.
Spider-Man 2, Avatar, Amelie, Star Wars, Back to the Future.
Amelie's a good choice.
Shawshank, Forrest Gump, Breakfast Club, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and A Few Good Men.
Amelie I enjoy. I've only seen it once. So.
Well, and like, and people are like, Back to the Future, how could you not put that on your list? Or Star Wars, what the fuck? And I'm like, eh. Like,
easy. It's low hanging fruit.
That's everyone. Yeah, like yeah, everyone exactly. picks Star Wars. No, everyone right. picks it, and yeah. they pick those because of what they are. And sure, yeah. the list is most influential movies, and Star Wars was that, and Back to the Future is that, but. For me personally, I was like, I don't want to pick the easy ones. No. And I even talked about that last week on the show. I was like, I don't know what musical to pick. Like, if I'm going to pick the first movie musical that I was obsessed with, it's Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Oh. And I'm like, that doesn't really fit. And I was like, you know what fits better?
Nobody's
you know what fits better? Little Shop of Horrors. It fits better for me.
So there are going to be people like me and other folks who are like, oh, yeah, I relate to that.
Right.
Even though impactful and relevant today.
Right, exactly.
There would be some that would be like, oh, yeah, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, but like personally, like I wouldn't be one.
Right, exactly. You know? So that's my whole list. That's my top 10 plus...
Bonus
more because yeah. I couldn't.
Who when
it
can?
Came, when it came to 10, I was like, "What am I going to put for number 10?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "I have all these other ones like no. Spider-Man 2. Like when Spider, and I was going to pick Spider-Man because when Spider-Man came out, I was floored because I was waiting.
Oh, yeah.
As a child, Spider-Man was my dude, and I was waiting for that movie. And then it finally came out, and I saw that. It was one of the first movies I remember seeing by myself.
Peter Parker
I had
is
to go
every
see
nerd.
It. Like, right, I had to go see yeah. it. And I sat there by myself and watched Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and I was, like, blown away.
You
but
mean
then,
Tobey McCrier?
Yeah, thanks, NerdOn. But then when I was...
I love you so much!
But when I was going to list them, I was like, Spider-Man 2... was way better, and
such
it affected
the better
me
movie.
Better.
Yeah,
so
it
that's
is better.
What I picked.
It is better. Spider-Man 2 is bomb. It's so good.
I'm just curious. Did you ever see the 1970s
the live action? Yeah. Oh, of course.
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
The live action Spider-Man
that was on like network television.
Yeah, it was like when the era of like you know Superman and Batman were on the 60s TV, and like they had a Spider-Man version too. No, it's garbage.
Live.
Yes.
Yes, not the animated one, right. Which is also hilarious.
Which came out that late, that's late or, 60s.
That's like Spider-Man and Friends.
Spider-Man. Or, yeah, that's where the theme song came from.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. He battles the Shocker. I remember he battles the Lizard. Remember he battles
so anyway, that's my whole top 20 of sorts.
That's good, man.
And we got a couple of yours, BJ, but where are we at in your list right now?
We do. So, I mean, like, I literally just started, and I did not want to start. Until you were almost done.
Right.
Because this is a great topic for us to talk about.
Sure. Right.
And so, like, I'm like, I want to talk about Jared's movies. I don't want to really talk about mine while I'm talking about Jared's. So
we can spend time on the honorable mentions or whatever.
Yeah, well, we can, absolutely.
If we want
absolutely.
To.
And also, but too. Like, you yeah. know, we all have lists now, and I really enjoy about this as a topic, first of all, it's fun as hell to talk about.
Yeah.
It's just really fun to talk about.
Well, it's and that's what started stuff. The whole, like, let's pit these years against these years.
That's
like,
fun. That's
right.
really
it's
fun.
It's like, I realized we could talk about movies forever.
No, we got a really nice format here for talking about funnies, for talking about
forever.
My movies.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
You gotta hit
and,
teeth when you say the yeah, forever.
Okay. So anyway, we do have an opportunity to talk about movies for a while, which is great in a great venue and a great setup for it. So anyway, so I really wanted to wait until I wanted to let you finish yours because everyone that you mentioned, for the most part, I'm like we can talk about for a long time.
Right.
Although half of them I haven't seen.
Correct.
But even with that, we're going to talk about them for a long time.
I still can't believe you haven't seen Chaplin.
Oof. I haven't seen Chaplin. I haven't seen...
Watch that immediately.
There were a couple of yours that
Noises
like,
Off was another
Noises
one.
Off,
which
never seen it.
You're going to love.
Never seen it, yeah.
Goofy Movie was one, obviously.
Never seen it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
One.
Oh, that's not. That's just you and your wife watching movies. That's not
Oh,
one
we
of
just did
10.
That, yeah.
Spaceballs, like, I don't think I've seen that beginning to end. I know, dude. I know.
Dude. Wait,
I know.
Did you post Spaceballs too?
I think it was in my no. You yeah you yeah, did. Didn't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is Rich. That is Rich. I'm sorry. That's Rich posted
that. No, it's
that.
Fine. It's fine.
But it's on Jared's thing. So yes. When I was going through his thing, but what is my first movie? Hold on there. Do you remember offhand?
No.
My first movie. You don't. Come on,
go
dude.
To your
what
own
is wrong
Facebook
with you?
AJ.
One of them.
I saw it like today.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Dang it.
Let's
I should
see.
Know, but
BJ.
I don't.
Can't find it
BJ.
Faster.
Here we go. Okay, so I'm on day four. So let me switch down to day two, and day one. Okay.
Okay,
so
you found them. What are you at? What's day one?
Day one is movies that impact you. Thanks, Jared.
Yep.
we out start obvious. Day one is Shawshank Redemption. But right. you didn't put that on your list, did
that
you?
That was on my honorable mentions.
BJ crawled through 500 yards of the worst smelling shit. The
foulest smelling
That was on my honorable mentions. But it was one of those, like, that's like, if people ask me what's my favorite
Everybody's
movie.
Everybody's going to post that one.
That's
right.
my, like, my favorite, so, one yeah. of my favorite movies. So, that's so I tried to avoid it, but.
Yeah, so that's why I put, like, we're going to start obvious, and right. then we're going to go to more more personal stuff. So that was day one. Day two was Fresh, which I'm sure.
No idea.
Yes. No idea.
No
clue. You've seen it?
Not in a very long time.
But you've seen it back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
What is this movie about?
Okay, so it's a story about, it's Boaz Yochin, mm-hmm. who has, he directed, what was the, remember the Titans, I believe.
Okay.
So he's had a couple of bigger movies since then, but it was a movie that he put out.
Is he a white guy or?
I don't know. Good question. I'm guessing with the name Boaz Yochin.
What's
black y'all. Yeah, he's black y'all.
It could be either one back in that time. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, like, so honestly, I can't comment on what race is.
Is this a black movie?
It's
or
a black
no?
movie, yeah. for sure. It's a black movie, yeah. for sure. And so Fresh is a story about a young kid who is living in the inner city in a situation. He's kind of sort of trapped in a situation that is kind of hard to get out
like
of.
Like living in the projects kind of thing?
Lives
or,
in the projects. Yeah. He lives with his aunt, with several other people, several other kids, but they're all troubled.
Okay.
But he has been working for two different drug dealers for the last so many years. Like in
like
the movie, when the movie gets introduced, you don't know exactly how long he's been working for them. But he's probably 13 years old. He's a young kid.
Yeah.
But he's been working for both of these drug dealers for a while. Separately.
Right.
So one of them is a cocaine dealer and one of them is a heroin dealer. So Giancarlo Esposito, who's one of my favorite actors, who played Gus Fring on Breaking Bad, who played Boogin' Out on Do the Right Thing, which is a movie that I'm going to talk about later.
I think that was on your – you it's posted on, that one on your list today.
Do the Right Thing is on my list for sure. So Giancarlo Esposito is an actor that I'm crazy about. I think he's just very good. But he plays a part in this movie along with Samuel L. Jackson, who has a part, but it's not that big. But he does get like – you know, I think at that time he was a sort of a major – star, so they were able to get him for the movie, and they used
him. That's that Pulp Fiction year, right?
Maybe so. I mean, maybe so. I'm not sure exactly what year this movie came out. I have to search what year Fresh came out.
94.
In the 90s. Yeah, I was going to say definitely in the 90s. Pulp Fiction is probably about the same time.
Yeah. Yep, same year.
So maybe, I don't know which came out first, but...
The Chicken.
Either way... Either way,
that, it was like, the egg jokes.
That was Samuel L. Jackson is going to be he's going to be promoting himself. I mean, he's at least a big enough star from Pulp Fiction.
Well, yeah,
and
especially
other stuff.
In mid-90s, like,
he's starting to, like, instead of, like, a background actor or, like, an extra actor, which he was for years and years and years, he became a headline star. And so, anyway, he's in the movie. He plays Fresh's, who's the character, the main character, his father, who he doesn't see that
being,
often.
So it being like a drug kind of a in the projects kind of thing, like what? How is this influential to you? Because like you weren't like a drug runner like growing up in projects.
Nope.
So what about it was?
Because of the story, the way the story is set up is one that like he's just kind of living in, he's living his life, you know, like all of us are. And his life is kind of presented with certain givens that maybe we can't relate to, but it's this is just the way that you live, you know. And his life is that these particular drug dealers kind of run the neighborhood, and that you kind of work with them in order to get by,
right?
And eventually get out. And so essentially, he has an entire plan of getting out of this situation, which is living in the inner city and living in this working for these two different drug dealers that aren't necessarily head on fighting, but they are in two different worlds, and so they don't really approve of him working for each other, for the other one,
of course,
you know. And so but he's just kind of doing his thing. And so he has a sister who he's been adopted out to a foster home. His sister's in another foster home. Samuel Jackson is his father, who doesn't get to see that often, but he meets every so often on the sly in the park, and he plays chess with him.
Got it.
And so his father is a big chess player. So Samuel Jackson is a big chess player, and Samuel Jackson teaches him chess. And through teaching him chess, he teaches him strategies and game plans for dealing with his life.
All about the immediate play and like it's about the long game.
So he learns about the rook, you know, the knight or the rook character, which moves one up and three over or three one up and
that's
one
the
over.
Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so he learns about him and he learns about his crazy moves, you know, but he learns like the none of this matters except for the king.
Right.
Like the king is the only one that matters. The queen is very close, but it doesn't matter. It's the king. So all these other players in your life, you end up essentially using them in order for you being the king. You are the king
to
survive and to move on.
Yep.
And so he uses these chess strategies to get through his situation in the inner city in a way that's really impressive and beautiful to watch and artistic. It's beautiful. And so he comes up with a plan to kind of like get out of his situation, and the way he does it, you know, without giving anything away, is really impressive to watch. It's a beautiful arty movie.
And so for you, being a person of color, like, it just hit home.
You know, like, I don't know how much of it was. I don't know
how
much of it
was more impactful because of your
background?
Half
black. Maybe. So it's hard to say. But what I enjoyed about the movie is that it's somebody who is presented with a certain situation
now
that we all are.
Now, is it heavy-handed in the fact that it's racially
I don't think
presented?
So.
Or no. Anybody that's like kind of struggling down and out and all this stuff? Or
I think anybody.
Because I'd imagine like somebody growing up in the inner city like that.
It was the 90s, so
I think
there wasn't
anybody,
as much nuance.
I think that anybody in any situation, like, where like, oh, this is what I'm working with, you know, and this is what I need to be able to get out of it.
And,
and dealing with that, I think that in a lot of ways, almost anybody could relate to it.
Yeah.
But if you did happen to, like, have some sort of experience, and my experience isn't, you know, inner city enough to worth to count, I guess,
and
to say, oh, I totally relate to this type of lifestyle, because I don't. But I've lived on the edges of it enough to know, to recognize some similar themes to where, you know, to some of it. It maybe hits home a little bit more.
Nice.
But for me, it's more like, oh, this is just a good tale of, like, doing what you need to do and using your experiences to make it happen. And it's brilliant. It's really, really smart. So this is a movie that, like, somebody recommended to me back in the 90s that I saw at, like, an art house theater in Seattle, maybe the Harvard Exit. I think that was probably where I saw it. And you see it, and then and it washes over you, and it's like, yeah. Then you want to see it again, and you watch it a few more times, and it really, like, sticks in as, like, this is a good piece of art, like a really good piece of art.
Okay, so that's Fresh.
Fresh, Fresh.
Wow.
And it's on. I believe it's on streaming on Netflix right now. I could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong about that.
Cool.
But it's worth looking for. Fresh.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so number three movie.
And these are in no particular order. They're just what
they're
pops in your head.
And this is what I like. This is what I like about the way that the whole structure was worded, was that these are movies that affect you.
Right. They're not your favorite.
These are the best movies of all time.
Right.
These are the movies that affected you throughout your life.
Right.
You know, that you remember and recall on.
Correct.
And so that, which is a great thing. You're not trying to get into any kind of conversation about what's better, Gone with the Wind or Spartacus.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, or something like that.
Well, that's what our bracket's for.
We'll do that plenty.
We'll do that right
that's
now.
Different.
So that was my second day. It was Fresh. Day three is Do the Right Thing, which was a big movie for me, and it came out in 1989. I'm guessing it was 89. 89? It might have been 90.
I thought because, it was like 90.
Public Enemy, when they sing the song that was the theme for the show, which is Fight the Power, he's 1989, the number, Another Summer, Get Down,
gotcha.
Sound of the Funky Drummer. Music hitting you hard because I know you got soul.
Get it.
Brothers and sisters, hey! Listen while you listen, yo. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Know what I know. Sorry. I can go on.
We all know the song.
I can go on and on. But anyway, it says 1989 in that song. So that's like the first line of the song.
Do the Right Thing came out in 1989.
There you go.
Yep.
So essentially they put it out as if Public Enemy had just put out the song in real life, which they did, which is really weird.
The first
it probably coincided of that. With.
Yeah, yeah, but it's really weird because they and essentially in the movie you're presenting a reality.
Right.
But they're presenting a reality that is actual reality.
Partial reality.
Yeah, which is a trip. And they do refer to certain things like Tawana Brawley, and there's another like a character in the 80s of racial injustice that in the black community was looked upon that I can't think of offhand, but they refer to these things in the movie to kind of give it a little bit more oomph. So, but it's a great, great, great movie.
I don't know this movie.
Oh my God.
So, I haven't seen it.
Essentially it's a story.
Is good
it's a story of one
shit.
Day,
one day in the, life in, of the inner city.
Yeah. And then living in Brooklyn, in a particular neighborhood on a particular intersection.
Now, this movie came out in
1989.
Mm-hmm. 89. I was young.
Yeah.
And I'm a white kid growing up in San Diego.
Yeah. Okay.
So is there any opportunity for me to have seen this movie unless I went as an adult, went back and watched it?
Probs not.
No,
unless someone's
going
to expose it to you.
Right. That's the
thing. Like, I was exposed to it by my older cousins.
I mean, this is definitely like...
when I was a kid. So.
It's one of those movies that you would have probably heard of as a 20-year-old.
Right.
Where you'd be like, I've really heard about this movie.
So
and I should go see it. Yeah. And
but
then
as
you'd probably go see it.
As a 6-year-old growing up in San Diego as a white kid, there's no way I'd ever see this movie.
No, you would have to see it later. You'd have to hear about it at some point and go, I've heard about this movie. Right. I want to see this. And so that's definitely the case for most people.
Right.
Because it's still as impactful it was. And as like this movie was one that they like would have like city like meetings where people would talk, sit and talk, watch the movie and then talk about it.
Yeah.
And then like and discuss like because it was issues that are certainly prevalent in today as far as like relationships between the cops and
cultural
society.
Touchstone. And
a lot of stuff, yeah. A lot of things.
In a lot of the senses of like, especially in that movie, like a lot of the things and the problems that movie addresses have not changed.
Right? Yeah, they're really, yeah. So in a lot of ways, it's super duper relevant. Yeah. It's super relevant. Even though it's almost 30 years old, it's relevant as all get out.
No, I first experienced that movie in probably 1999. So well afterwards.
So 10 years later.
Yeah. And so how old were you at that point?
At
teenager?
That point, I was, oh my God, math. I was 17.
18, 17, yeah.
So, yeah. I know, right?
I'm old like a fossil. Like a fossil.
You are old as fuck.
Like a fossil. Yeah, you are old.
But it was my cousin is like, have you seen this? I'm like, no. He's like, you need to watch this.
What year did you graduate high school?
85.
So this was like your like second year in college, like
third,
watching.
Fourth year. Yeah, exactly. This is like you know, yeah, this is like this is when I moved to Seattle for the first time.
And you were
was
a man
it, and was
then.
It made for people? Was it made for you, or was it made for like a high schooler coming up? You
no,
know what I mean?
It was like, made no, like I think it was really made for everybody.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
In a way, so.
Cool.
So this is we take a little offshoot there, but my man Jeremiah.
Oh, what's up, dude?
Hi, Jeremiah.
Hey.
Jeremiah is moving back to Ireland in just a matter of days.
Oh wow!
Boo.
Come on, what did you bring us? Come on up a little bit more.
Oh.
Come
your
closer.
Your choice of DVDs, and there's a whole bunch of music in there.
DVDs genres. And music.
Yeah.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Book is on top.
Okay.
So that's the most important thing. She has to get that.
Oh, very good. Very good. So when are you moving?
I leave Wednesday morning, 6 a.m.
Oh, man.
What part of Ireland?
Cork City, don't
say. Oh, yeah.
So nice Southern part. Ireland.
It's a nice part.
Yeah.
In Cork?
Yeah.
In Cork, which is Southern Ireland.
Correct.
Yeah. So we talked to Jeremiah before when we had our episode about the neighbors. I don't
Absolutely.
Remember what episode that was. But,
who knows?
But Jeremiah is not the first time. It's not the first time he's been on our
Correct.
Thing. but we just had last Saturday night. Today's Sunday. It was last night. Was it last night?
No.
Or was that Friday night?
Friday night.
Friday night. Okay, good. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Friday night, we had a little get together, a little potluck.
Cool.
Just three doors down with a bunch of the neighbors. And because Jeremiah is leaving and he's going back to Ireland, which is sad, but at the same time exciting for him. And
new chapter.
Well, nice. No, that we can visit you. You know, like, you know, that's.
Give me a chance to get a house first, though.
don't worry. We're not, it's not imminent. We're not taking a Europe trip.
For a couple of months. That's going to be a trip in itself.
No, we'll give you a little time to get settled in, and then we'll come. We just drive all your relatives crazy. Like, this is our friend BJM. So I'm sorry, he's terrible, but like, he's going to sleep on our couch for the next few days.
Used to me.
So, okay, good.
It wouldn't surprise me if like five people showed up at the same time.
Right on.
They won't sleep on the floor.
Hey, we don't mind. Yeah, if you're traveling through Ireland, yeah, you'll sleep wherever. So.
Right. Oh, no, there's couches, there's sofas, there's friends around the road, there's people
there
around.
There you go.
You don't sleep on no ground.
That's cool.
Not unless you're camping.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, which would only be by choice, so.
Nice.
Right, and most people that camp bring their little beds anyways, what's the point?
Hey, I'll take that. I'll take a bed. I'll take a comfortable couch. I'll come with an air mattress, whatever we got. So, cool, man. So, thank you for bringing that stuff by, man.
No problem.
And is the scale will grab from you tomorrow or the next day? The scale?
Oh, you get back down. Yeah.
No rush. Yeah. You know, I just use. We use it to kind of.
I believe he's leaving in a couple days, so there's kind of a rush.
There's a little bit of a rush.
Small rush. Maybe in the next day or two.
Small rush.
Yeah.
Should he cast some commons?
Yeah, whatever you like. Yeah, it's fine.
No, I'm saying, can he cast commons?
Yeah, sure as he can.
Slender there?
No, I'm sure his intention is well. You know, his intention is well.
So,
that's assuming,
sorry.
Nice. Cool. No, you're all good.
Thanks, fun Jeremiah. So anyway, yeah, we did, by the way, that's kind of in our What's Up thing. We had a little family.
Yeah.
Neighborhood get together.
Call it family.
It is kind of family. Yeah for family. Sure. Like we had just on Friday night, and it was moving. Like I was just like so happy to be there with everybody.
Nice.
And like, you know, you can't have a 10-year relationship with somebody without spending 10 years with them.
Right.
You know, and so we have a certain relationship with these neighbors that are 3 years, 5 years, or, you know, more kind of established. And so you sit down and acknowledge it for an evening. It's really nice. You know, it's really nice. So
especially when it's like a goodbye, you're like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So,
yeah. So we had a really good time and it was really nice to send him off in the right way. So
cool.
I don't know what we were talking about.
We were talking about your life. What's after do the right thing? What's that?
Do the right thing. Day three. Yet? Yeah. And day four is River's Edge.
Dude. So, I am impressed you picked this one. Like,
now you've seen this movie?
Absolutely.
I have not seen this movie.
Okay, and you haven't seen it either. Okay.
No, this movie is legit. It's dark. It's about murder, kind of.
Yes.
Murder. But, and one of the big takeaways for me, I don't know when this movie came out.
In 1989, I believe.
I think so, too. But one of the big takeaways is, like, those late 80s, early 90s movies, they didn't have very good, like, scores or composers. And so, like, a lot of this movie, to me, my big memory of this movie is that it's very silent, if that makes any sense.
There is music, and I remember
there
scores.
Is.
You know, there is scores.
But it's not as prevalent now.
No.
Where, nowadays, a sequence would be happening, and there's going to be some underscoring or something happening.
You're not, like, super prevalent soundtrack.
There are, you're right, because there are scenes in River's Edge that kind of happen. And they happen, and they are allowed to kind of happen.
They just kind of breathe.
And then when it's over, they play a little theme music.
Right. Yep.
Dun, 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 yep. A little transition music. Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't lean on the music at all.
Right.
In that way.
But it's a good flick, dude.
It's damn good.
I was impressed. I was like, whoa, that's a good pull. Like, I was not expecting it.
No,
so.
And not only that, I mean, the reason why I picked it was because that was a movie that was, like, in the first few years of college that, like, me and my college friends who were theater majors were, like, you know, trying to be cool, watching what the cool movies would be when watching what all the artists are watching.
Oh, yeah.
And River's Edge was something that came up, and we all got into it big time. And
that's
we watched
awesome.
It a ton.
No, it's
we watched
legit,
it a bunch.
Too. Like, it's legit.
It's a great movie. Crispin Glover particularly is great.
Is it available anywhere to stream?
That's a good question.
I doubt.
I don't think so either. I don't think it is. No. But
you could probably buy it on Amazon.
You could absolutely buy it. Everything on Amazon. River's Edge, because it's Keanu Reeves' first big movie.
Oh,
as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, I don't know one. I don't know when Burt before that.
Pre-Bill and Ted.
I don't know. That's a good question, but I have a feeling like it's before Bill and Ted. Like my instincts tell me it's before.
But
Bill and
Ted.
But he's
in the same era of like. I'm a young, kind of a
for sure. In
90s,
fact, so much so,
like,
so much so that kind of like that pre-opinion that you have of him
right.
doesn't come into play. Like he just comes across as like
an angsty kind of
angsty stoned kid,
grunge '90s kid.
Yeah.
Even though it's made in '89, but
right.
like he's the grunge
no,
kind of a kid.
It absolutely is.
Of the
it
movie.
Absolutely
right.
is,
yeah.
and it's dealt with in a way that's very kind of realistic and legitimate.
Yeah,
and,
that's cool.
And the movie is very good, and it's very good.
Yeah.
And it had a big effect on me and a lot of my friends.
That's like,
in college. We were in college at the time.
I freaking dig it, man.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Can you dig it?
Do we want to, because that's where you're at right now.
That's where I'm at right now.
Do we want to dive into that more? Do we want to talk about riches at all, or do we want to say that until next week? Because we're at a while now. We're almost 2 hours.
So. We're at a while
shit,
now.
2 hours, yeah.
So,
plus we got a little bit of stuff.
We should probably cut it
do.
Off.
Yeah, let's cut it off, and then we'll have plenty of stuff to go
okay,
on.
Okay, so we got B-Days.
Day four.
Six River's more to Edge. Go, and yeah. we got riches coming up. And we have the best year of movies bracket that you guys can get down on as well.
Oh, that's
going
to be fun.
There's all sorts of fun movie stuff going on, because, you know, right now, especially with Movie Pass going on, we want to talk about Mission Impossible, but we rely on Movie Pass and we can't go see that. So there's a lot of stuff.
I'm gonna use my AMC freebie to go see it.
There you go. Yep. And so we're gonna have some of the blockbusters coming up soon on future episodes. But for now, we're just having fun talking about movies.
It is great.
And
it's
so
great.
And we're gonna dive into that a little bit more with the brackets and all that stuff. So get your brackets in there, pick who your winner is, and we'll see how that goes.
Whoop, whoop.
But for now, this week, this is a wrap on this episode. This has been Life's Revenge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a binge.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.